July 11, 2013. Yes.
So yeah, you've got your technical supports getting this, trying to get a dial tone. Okay, so.
Hey Tim.
Hmm.
Anything I know about
extension? Okay, we're gonna pause just for a minute.
You didn't.
While the.
No, you contacted me yesterday. Okay.
So I'm going to drop off of here and call back in, so stay tuned.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Sorry about that.
No worries.
Okay. What's your number?
Welcome to AT&T's teleconference service. Please enter your access code, followed by the pound sign.
There's people on there, so maybe you don't have to know.
To join the conference as the host, press star. Otherwise, press pound.
Sounds fine.
Please enter your security code followed by the pound sign.
This is weird. Again.
Oh, don't take that bet. I'll bet you a beer on that one. Ed, you naysayer. Wait a minute. Is Ed
at the tone, please speak your name.
F bomb. Thanks.
There are 11 participants on the call, including you. You are joining your conference as a participant. For a menu of available commands, press star pound.
Probably get disconnected momentarily.
Has joined the conference.
Okay.
And you owe us a beer.
We are on with the spider phone. So
the conference.
Okay. Can everybody hear us now?
Kind of?
Yeah. Yes.
I hope you can, because I'm right in front of the phone. Anyway, we're going over the agenda, and we are in Critfix new building, which has a bunch of bells and whistles and crazy phones.
That don't work.
Yeah. So I heard on the agenda an add-on of the ADCP. Is there anything else somebody wants to add before we get started?
Yes.
Ben Houseman, what do you want to add?
Fish Unit 2 extension, potentially.
Fish Unit 2 extension.
No.
You haven't even heard it.
Into March.
I just lost. Did he take my agenda? Or did you just take my agenda?
Sure.
What did you just do with it?
Hey, Byrne,
yes.
There's another one on Ice Harbor.
Ice Harbor. What is it?
The coordinations I put out Monday afternoon.
Extension, Ice Harbor.
Tammy, did you add that?
And ACD.
We'll cover it under Lamprey updates.
Okay.
Anything else? Okay, is there any comments on the meeting minutes from June? No comments from Critfic. Anybody?
I had to move.
Okay.
Do you want more time to review them, or you want?
Do you want more time to review them, Tom? Or?
I've got a comprehensive evaluation.
All right. Well, I'm going to consider you approve those and read them. So, unless you really are going to take the time.
No.
Okay. So consider those approved, but if you do see something, you can bring it to the attention of the group. So let's get right into action items for Walla Walla with McNary Temperature Profile. An update, please.
Indy, have this one. We had a conference call about this last week with the project. We were discussing current temperatures and the Mike Clay's. Guys doing the modeling on the
Mike Schneider.
Yeah. And there was still some work to be done on this, so it's not. You know, it's still continuing agenda item.
Have we moved forward? Because right now it sounds like you have to go out there with the laptop once a day to download the data. We thought that was going to be a little more streamlined. We thought the model was going to be able to be run by project personnel to make this a little more easier to facilitate operations. Is there any movement in that direction, or are we kind of moving glacially on this?
I think there is movement.
There is some movement on it. I mean, they're able to get the model going and work that, and you know, I haven't played with it since it was initiated last week. I've been out of work here for a while, but it's available for them to use at the project. They received the spreadsheet.
Who received the spreadsheet?
It would have been Carl. It would have been.
Oh.
It would have been even Bill Gershbach, the chief there, would receive that.
Okay.
Can we get a little more of a maybe an update, a written update on this one? Just this is something that this Gary, this is something I brought up at a Fitterwick meeting months and months and months ago.
And maybe before we got to the summer season, when we might need the model.
Oh yeah, way back in
just check
like fall. And so I guess I'd just like to know what's been done, what we have left to do, and what needs to be done to make that happen.
Should we cover this at Fitterwig?
Yeah, we could cover it at Fitterwig next
what, two,
what,
weeks?
2 weeks, Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay, what needs to be done? The operation of it? Sure.
What's that, Greg? Sorry, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, I mean, you want what needs to be done to the model?
Let's just get a full update on it. I know you're working on it, but I'd like to know really where we're at, what needs to be done, and you know, what's the schedule, what's it look like, what are the problems, what does it take to get it done? I mean, we're in the season now.
Yeah, we are.
And I was hoping the project would be fully utilizing the model by now, and
mm-hmm.
it doesn't sound like they are, so... I just don't want to you know, get into next fall and we all forget about it, and then it comes up again next year,
we'll
the same thing, and
we'll
be back in the same spot.
No, it's my experience in diligently working on that.
One of the buy-up items, this is you know, kind of an important issue for McNary.
Yeah, you got it.
You're going to have to increase the font size.
Thank you.
Are those Coke bottle glasses?
Yeah.
I do appreciate Rosanna keeping up on the temperature and sending the daily data. So I know it's a lot of work to download all those probes and put into the spreadsheet. So it's, I appreciate the effort.
You're welcome. I have a question about this model that we're talking about. I've been talking to Mike Schneider about this, and he and I have been conversing back and forth about it. So is this the same model that, you know, I go out and I download all the temperatures every day, and I bring it back into the office, and then he was putting together something that a macro... that could just grab my data and summarize it for us into Access or Excel, either one, and then we'd have a little less work trying to summarize all this stuff. Are we talking about the same issue?
No, it's not just the summary.
No.
It's actually a way for the project, for the biologist.
To look at the data.
Right, to actually real-time...
Okay.
Or near real time, make adjustments based on the 4-bay temperature data that they're seeing. So, you know, the issue that we've been dealing with on this last RAS testing would be a lot easier, I think, for them to work with to operate units if they had this model working.
And the problem is, you know. The temperature devices that I am currently using are not real time, and it's a matter of physical labor of going out for 2 hours and downloading them all.
And those are limitations that we need to talk about. So that's I'd just like to get the whole issue of McNary temperature monitoring and operation kind of pulled into one place and give us a chance to talk through all the issues with that and where we're going with it. Right now, it's kind of seems scattered to me, you know, bits and pieces.
Yes.
So
got it. Thank you.
The due out here is to have something in writing for Fitterwig and Walla Walla in, 2 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll have the update there.
Or an update, but something on paper as well.
good.
Yeah, that would be good.
Maybe a read ahead before that.
But let's not drop it from FPOM either.
Okay.
So, and I think that's really where it belongs.
Well, that's where it's going to end up. Yeah. The model has to be able to use by the people at FPOM at the project to inform them on best unit operations from a temperature control standpoint. I believe that's what the RPA said.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's something maybe you can even put in the FPP too.
Wouldn't hurt.
Brad.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to 212, which is the debris spill for some protocols. What's the update on the protocols for the TSW off?
Change form.
Yeah. Is there a change form coming, or?
Yeah, is there a change form coming, Ken, or John? Do you know from there?
No, I'm not aware of a change form yet, but we will certainly have one in place for next year.
So is this something that needs to be carried on as an action item issue, or, you know, can we just
update,
throw that?
Throw it into the update, or punt it?
Yeah, as long as they know.
Okay. Okay, we're going to take this off the agenda.
A participant has left the conference.
We're going to take this off the agenda, so it's your responsibility to get that MOC out.
Yeah.
Change form. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so full of MOCs lately, I can't get it out of my head.
NFRs. MOCs.
Yeah. So 213 is sampling without transport for McNary. Another thing, is there a proposal that Dave can...
Ann Setter has started the report. She hasn't finished it yet. She's still working on it right now.
Okay. We'll take that off, or you want to... put it in updates. Drop this into updates.
Yeah. Well, that's probably an update, isn't it?
Well,
next month?
Yes, it will. Okay, so for Portland action items, we've got Fryer's detailed drawings is going to be in October, so let's just...
A participant has joined the conference.
Take that out so we don't have to look at it until October.
The 213 has FPAC. Does that come up on FPAC, Tom?
We've mentioned it, but
this is really not. I mean, this is it's really an FPAC issue. I mean, from monitoring standpoint.
Yeah, I think what because we brought up at FPAC, and we just wanted to know what is the core proposing. That's kind of what they're doing.
Okay.
Are you guys
so you're
talking?
Waiting for that.
We want to see what the core wants to do because I mean. There was concern that the cost-saving measures may or may not really be that much of a cost-saving measure because you still have to do some monitoring. So they wanted to know exactly what the Corps wanted to propose, and then they can take a look at that and see how that best fits and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So I don't know who needs to talk to who on that.
Yeah, it's going to be chicken and egg a little bit because
all I know is not my job.
Two purposes there. So.
Whose job is it?
I would say it's
Will's.
Well, Will's is...
Will said he was going to take the champion on that.
We did. We took it to FPAC, and then we asked, but people didn't know exactly what it meant by reduced sampling and all that stuff, and they said, well, what do you want to do? So they kind of need to get from Carl Duggar what he's proposing or what Ann's proposing as a cost-saving measure, since they know what transport and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Okay. So we need something from Ann to FPAC, the region.
Yeah. And what's the date for that?
Oh, she's out right now. She's not in.
But does anybody have...
Does anybody know when she's going to provide that information to FPAC?
No, we don't.
All right.
She's working on it.
So...
She's on vacation?
No, she's in training.
Training?
So I'm guessing by the time we probably be in something in this year. This probably be for next year, I'm guessing.
By the time it's all done, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be something 2 weeks on.
Yeah.
So.
It'll be, well, Greg, can you put that on her, send her an email stating that she needs to get that together, and then they can start working it through the region for next year, unless she has something near completion that we can turn around quickly.
I haven't seen anything yet.
I see more FPD change for
her. No, I haven't seen anything either, John.
Okay.
I'd say the only comment I can see from the court largely means the requirement of air sampling every few days to make sure that we aren't injuring fish in the bypass system. We don't need the data for transport anymore, if that's going to be the case of the 2014 buyout. However, you know, it's still the FPAC has to determine whether they have sampling needs. And then we have the whole issue of who's going to have permits to do what. So, you know, on the work department, so that's all down the road.
Yeah, but that, the needs are the important thing. Really, this comes down to condition monitoring and index monitoring.
Right.
And there's FPAC is the index side, and you guys are the condition side. Both sides aren't going to be able to make a decision until there's a discussion about this with everybody in the room. So, I mean, that just needs to be set up and done so it doesn't get punted.
Right. At least float a proposal out so someone has something to react to and then we can start the process.
FPAC could, you're right, Tom. I mean, that's the proposal, but at the same time, FPAC could decide how much of the monitoring effort needs to be done at McNary. Does it need to be a daily monitoring, every other day monitoring, 2 times a week monitoring? Is that good enough for indexing status? What's the minimal, I guess, that's needed? But I think that's what everybody's after, is trying to pare down the program a bit. Sorry, Rosanna. But
yeah. Well, and see, my only concern is during this time of year, when you need to keep an eye on what's happening in that forebay with, you know, 300,000 fall Chinook coming through every day, are you foregoing, you know, things like that by paring down an 8-hour sample?
Right. And that's what needs to come out in the FPAC discussion, and you and Charlie need to bring that to the table.
Yes.
You know, and have that discussion so that we have all the pieces on the table.
Okay.
I know she solicited information from the project saying about what do you really need to happen at certain times of the day, at certain times of the year, stuff like that, without transport going on. I know she's got that much information down, and she's compared it to the other projects too. So she does have some information, I will say that, but, you know, it's not complete yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's still in progress, and I'll ask her. I mean, I'll send a note to her saying, yes, get the stuff done.
Yeah, this isn't easy. This is not hard. I mean, there's a lot of pieces to it, but it just needs to be pulled together, and somebody needs to make some decisions on the frequency.
Right.
That's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. So that wraps that one up. 231. 213, whatever. Put my glasses on. It is 213. There it is. Hey, resolution is what we're here for, right? Hey, you're falling right behind me there, buddy.
It's got 2020, baby.
Not for long.
So
we're skipping 2-1 and going to 2-2, which is separator bar contract condition subsampling. Tom was going to take the proposal to roll the subsampling into the contract to FPAC.
We did. And Benton and FEC were supposed to talk. That has not happened, to my understanding. There's still a big issue about who spends what and who pays for what. And as soon as you start talking about who pays for what and who spends for what, discussions take a lot longer than they really need to.
So we need to come to resolution here because we're putting out a contract soon and need to know what's going to be in it.
So this is not going to be in it. The contract that we're putting out is just for separator bar monitoring. It is not for condition subsampling. So if BPA can't get FPC to take it on, then...
Well, then you guys are going to be hanging out because you guys are still on the hook for that.
Yeah, that has to be done. It is being done automatically. It's just this is all about money. It's not about what's going on in the project.
Right.
I mean, the guys are handling the fish every day. They're looking at them to get the index and know what the condition is. It's going down the piece of paper. We're in the, not anymore, I guess.
That is
dating myself. going into the computer.
Yeah, back in the days,
in my day, it was on a piece of paper.
With an abacus. It was an abacus that they sent up to the sky.
Okay. It's a lot longer back then.
Steam shovels.
So
and
it really
abacuses.
Comes down to dollars and cents and who's paying the bills and who can accept money and can't accept money.
Right. So do we need
that? The problem is that we don't pay for that service now.
Right.
It's part of their daily routine.
That. But and
because
so the
outcome comes
to the FPC, will they just do it and give you the data, or do you have to pay for it?
And if they don't do it, they'll just sit there for 8 hours.
It's still going to be there. We're all going to have the information in our faces.
Necessarily.
Why not? It's home monitoring.
I'm not FPC. I'm saying if you guys want to have negotiations with
me,
I'm
going
to
withhold the data?
No, but it's like you're asking them to take on a task that isn't part of their current task order. They've been covering it, but now you're asking them to cover other stuff. I'm not speaking for them. I'm saying go talk to them and figure it out. Once again, not my job. I do not manage FPC's budgets.
So, Laura's here. Yeah, there is. I see it right
here.
Yeah.
Right,
I was to take it to FPC. I took it to FPC, got yelled at by FPC. Now I'm taking it back to you guys. You guys can go talk to them and get yelled at by them.
So let's get a meeting with Bonneville and FPC, and I'll set that up so we can get some resolution here.
Yes.
I'll call Michelle and see what she has to say.
That's right. Dave's on the phone. Hey.
Yeah, Dave's on the phone. Dave, do you have anything to say about it?
Click. I really don't.
Smart man.
Not really. Smart.
Can you run down and grab Michelle?
I think she's in a smash. Not right now, but
not
I can
right now?
Yeah. All right, so I've got an action on that, and I'll set that up. Kelp monitoring, this is something the FFU is putting a proposal together. They're looking at what they can do for using video cameras and some kind of software. So more to come on that once they get...
Are we going to get an update on how it worked last year? Because I know there was some discussion about accuracy of that versus the separator bars and blah, blah, blah. Are we going to see a report out of that?
We're going to have a write-up. I know that they're looking at that. I think... Bill is looking at some kind of recognition software, but they've read the tapes, and there is some discrepancies on what passed and what was counted.
Well, there will be. There's no doubt about that.
So this might be something that we have the next day. Somebody read tapes, go through it at 8 speed, and say, hey, look at this. We got
I think what the software would do is try to get rid of the blanks.
So there should be something better than what we had next year.
It was good last
year,
really.
No, the video seemed to work.
Yeah.
You know, and it's run it. You run it through when you start it, when you end it.
Right.
So that protocol will be developed here in the proposal.
Well, March
1. Well, March 1, I mean, till when? I mean, if you can read video, you want to keep reading it?
Yeah, until you trip the trigger,
right.
For sure.
Well, that's what happened.
That's one step.
They tripped the trigger and stopped reading, recording.
And that's a discussion that we haven't had yet, is what the value of the data are for the extra up through April 10. You know, just to know what goes through, realizing that most of them are going to go through the corner budget.
Right.
Yeah. But this was something that I thought you were pushing for, Gary, that you wanted to kind of continue monitoring past the trigger.
Yeah, I just... It's something to think
kind of like validation, you know, what is happening.
Is it really that important? Are we going to get much out?
Because, you know, your average is based on when we open the corner collector, not when spill starts.
Yeah, I mean, if our triggers go, is from that, well,
I feel like
enough said, let's
more to come.
Have a discussion about it somewhere.
Yeah, Stansel's on vacation, and he knows this is one of the priorities. Is that?
Isn't on vacation?
Is this us people right here?
Yeah, Jesus. You haven't been gone for like 2 months, though. So
are you taking
off? Already there.
Could be a long time. I don't know.
Permanent vacation?
Could be.
Well, just FYI, I saw Klugger yesterday, and he's like living the dream, man. Man, he's like... You got to hand in the paperwork to be able to do that.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Hold on, that's good.
All right. So for us people that are going to continue working for the next 15 to 20 years, let's go on to the powerhouse tail logs.
25. I went to college.
Mr. Hausman.
What?
2.24.
That's the top.
Hausman will put together an MOC with all the details.
Oh, this was unit 16. About pulling them out of 11, potentially.
Yeah, what's
the scoop? We didn't do that. We postponed the digital governor contract and put them back in 16.
Okay, so that you ended up doing that. I know there was some pushback on that, but
okay.
There was, but it was the risk wasn't
worth it.
Okay, so cross that one out.
Yeah, that got pushed by about, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. Didn't make folks happy, and it cost us money, of course, to pay the contractor for sitting around, but so it goes.
The hydrofoil test at V2 Corner Collector. What's the latest there at the Walla Walla Fitterwig?
What is the latest there?
I think I gave it the last time I was here.
No, I know. And then we had a talk about it.
Well, you guys punted it out to the Walla Walla Fitterwig.
Oh, I kind of gave an update. But
you had an update, and then we discussed since it now looks like it's getting pushed back, and the debate's going to be as where do you do it?
We don't have any update, really.
Okay.
I mean, what we're waiting for is not going to be done this year,
exactly.
Obviously, because that would have been last month.
Yes.
So it's probably next year, and how they're going to do it next year.
And where?
How and where?
Available.
And where?
Well, the where is still looking at Bonneville Corner Collector.
Okay.
But there's discussion of when. Early season, like April.
I still think they're nuts. I think they should go do it at Granite. If that's where you want to implement it, go test it there.
No,
that was
I don't want it there.
Yeah, that's.
You're going to retire soon, so we'll just wait another year and you'll be retired.
You don't even want it there. Why are you testing it?
So, yeah, what's the point of testing it if you're not going to put it there? There's the other thing. If you're not going to put it there, why are we testing it?
Well, the test is to look at the feasibility
before
you put it into a location with a lot of risk. Corner Collector doesn't have anywhere near the risk that the surface route does at Granite. So
let's talk about it.
Sounds like there's some details here.
Yeah, and I understand
that
it's better to go
out.
In a location where you're going to put it. But
you can design it to work.
It doesn't belong here.
Okay.
Probably not for next year. I'd bring it up.
Okay, well, I'm hearing Bill, and we're going to punt this one.
I'm removing it from the agenda.
No, it should get punted to Fitterwig.
Also when you guys have a plan together. It doesn't sound like there really is one right now.
There's no plan.
Where, when, and how.
The plan is we're not doing it right now.
Yeah, right.
That's all we know.
So we'll bring it up next fall.
Yep.
Did a real good job on it.
That hydrofoil.
And we got more to do.
Let's see, Lisa. Lisa, you're on 2.26. You're taking the lead on figuring out where to insert the information in the fish passage plan. Excellent. I'm sure you're doing a good job at that. Way to go. You figured it out.
You just can't tell us yet. It's still.
That had to be. Was that a Dave Wills? Dave Wills request that?
Of course he did.
I think it was. Well, Bob brought it up
way to go.
And thought it would
Thank
be helpful.
You. You're welcome.
Schedules, whatnot.
That is a good idea.
Bob, you're in trouble.
Way to champion that one.
So, Lisa, is this Dayul plans going to be for all projects or just for Bonneville projects or what?
Since Bob brought it up, I'm guessing it's not just Bonneville.
It'll be for all
Dallas.
Projects.
Yeah.
It makes sense to do it all.
All projects.
I think this was brought up because we're talking about when we're doing work and that kind of stuff.
Right,
and they're like,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
We should have that easily accessible. Yeah.
So when it gets here, that's already been looked at and people can, put together
and
the right
package.
These
are the entrants.
Well, let's get that figured out. Or count. And if you're going to do count, then you have to add a
bracket. Right. No, this is entrance.
We have this for counting. All that data.
We have this information already.
But entrance?
Yeah.
That's
what Bob said.
Yeah, it started out because people were questioning the count station counts. And so then we have this is entrance data.
Is the right stuff
we're
using for these kind of questions.
All right.
We just got to make it available in an easy format for all of you
both.
To read.
You could just put it in the appendix.
Well, I think the request was to make the data available rather than graphs so that people could run their own sorts of formulas on it. But,
No, I think we'll just do the graphs.
Just do the graphs in the appendix in the FTP. Let the notes say that Tammy just flared her nostrils. And
Sorry, I just had several scenarios run through my head.
What if somebody wants to run the mean and min max and the progression of the relationship?
So I think it would be similar to what Dalen did with the count data that
it's already available online.
Right, so this would just be the entrance that would complement that.
So it'd be all from RT studies?
Yeah. Whatever you buy, they have all the graphs there.
Okay, so will this be the last 5 years or from...
No, nope. It'll be whatever we put out there, and you'll find out when Lisa gets it figured out.
I think I would go back as far as you have data for it.
Yeah, it's like we're going to get data what we have because we don't have data at all projects. This we're gonna, is, it's going to be
whatever we have.
Basic behavior of fish, so you can go back the impedance tunnels if you want.
That's all quite that far.
So I think the plan was to use Kiefer's report that is currently available on the FPOM website.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was thinking, just maybe a link somewhere in there so that
the plan can have the graphs and the website can have the data.
Get that what they need.
Done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Ben, you're up next. Did you already do this defreloading report?
No. Houseman? No. We're going to run out of letters.
We'll start going to AA.
I'll take it. Yeah, there, right now, as far as debris goes, not a lot going on right now.
So we're talking 227 Bonneville debris loading reporting.
I don't really have an update on that.
No cleaning, longer needed?
It's not longer needed.
No longer needed.
No weekly
clean
update?
On Mondays and Thursdays. If folks have any questions, feel free to give myself or Ben a call, but it's not really an issue right now.
This was a pretty good year for screen cleaning. Seems.
Yep. We just had that one little finagle there to stop something. We had some questions about if they're having debris issues or not. That's the only reason we have the data is because we're asking. We saw some descaling. Was it debris or not?
Right on.
Done and done.
All right, we're going to skip to updates 3 with Walla Walla's updates. Go ahead, Greg. You can take the lead, or Ken.
Little goose, guys. The TSW operation. Lisa, isn't it? Didn't the latest STP estimate that the flows are going to be below 35 kcfs, which is the trigger point, now for more than 3 days come Monday next week?
Yeah, this morning's forecast looks like we could get there as early as
we'll add them all.
Friday or Saturday, but then the next available workday to pull it would be on Monday. So that's the 15th of July, and I think the last time we talked about this, there were some concerns with it's earlier than we've ever reached that trigger. What are the impacts of pulling that potentially on adults versus the subunits that are still moving downstream? So operationally, you can keep it in high crest and still be able to operate down to 27, 28, but it's just a matter of fish impacts. We'd be below the FPP criteria for pulling the spillway weir. So just something to consider. So if we were to just follow FPP criteria, we'd be pulling it on Monday.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, the last time I sent a notification, which was the last Monday of the month of June, I said that, you know, we're ready to pull it now, and that was for the first week of July. But Bill Havlin had an issue saying, well, why don't we try to keep it in place all the way until about the 1st or somewhere right around the 1st of August. And so we kept it in place. The flows did go up, fortunately. It did cover that, but now they're starting to go down again. So we're coordinated to say, hey, is this the right time for us to pull it again here come the 15th of July or whatnot? Now, fish-wise, juvenile fish, sub-yearlings, yes, they are dropping off at Granite. I think John has got some numbers for us right now with that, and also they are dropping down at Little Goose, too. So if sub-yearlings are dropping off and we're not in the middle of a run, those are the triggers. Yes, this is about 2 weeks early, but everything's about 2 or 3 weeks early this year due to the low flows.
So subunit passage yesterday at Granite was 6,085 and at Goose was 5,300. So it took up a little bit yesterday.
Overall, in last week, they've just been going down.
Well, it's better for the, my opinion is, it's much better for the fish runs, both adults and juveniles, to leave the weir in operation. But I understand that there's some constraints with operations that you need to remove it when you get down to these low water flows.
Yeah, if you remember correctly, the first year we did this, when flows were getting down below 28K, we were having significant issues in Unit 1, part of the time running Unit 2, switching it off, switching it on, switching it off. Unit 2 I'm talking about. And still, and it's not a pretty picture, even for adult fish passage at that time in 2009, when we first had it in. And so we came up with another plan. Of course, we thought dropping it off at 35, you know, three days, all that stuff. We all agreed to that. But whatever, you know, those are the conditions that are going on right now, so.
I said August 1st because it's just generally,
that's
not
the time of year,
me that says this, that generally the sub-yearling migration is there's still sub-yearling fish up there and coming into the lower snake, but they're not necessarily migrating. So I don't have a problem with around August 1st changing it over to a uniform spill pattern. But it just seemed like I couldn't believe that it was going to be done July 1st. And then I found out that the run was still underway because they were still tagging for the performance standard test. So I talked with Michael, and he said, oh, yeah, the run's still going on, and we're still tagging fish, and we don't want the weir taken out.
Yeah, but we're going strictly by FTP.
It indicates we got a problem with this criteria.
Yeah.
And I think we can get through it this year with it as it is, but we're going to have to change it for next year. That, you know, you don't do this. I'd like to see you don't do it before August 1st, or some other way of doing it. So you don't. The criteria has to be is called for over the benefit to fish passage.
But one of the criteria that's included in the decision to change from high crest to low crest and back and forth is not just a flow trigger, but it's also a review of fish passage so that it doesn't occur during the bulk of a passage event. So, but that doesn't carry over into the closing the spillway weir. It's just a flow trigger. So I think there would be some value to adding that.
Putting that statement in there also, yeah. Bill. I mean, that's a simple change.
Yeah.
But you know, it's an adaptable thing. I agree. Every year it's adaptable. It's a different day every year. I want to make sure that, one, you know, we don't hold up adult fish. We don't hurt juvenile fish going down either. So that's the thing. I agree.
Yeah. I don't see a lot of people clamoring to take the RSW out of service at Lower Granite or at Lomo or at Ice Harbor. I know it's not there isn't the same complications of operations there.
Right.
But people know that those work very well for passage of sub-yearling fish.
Certainly, and this one has shown that too, but yeah. You know, there may be an operational situation there in powerhouse as well.
Okay.
And so we have to change that and look at all the
stuff. I don't know. Tom, you got any ideas? What, 90% of the sub-yearling run is past Little Goose?
Yeah, we tried that, didn't we, about when to start the test?
Yeah, you're
right. It was in percent
run.
That worked out so well. I don't know how you're going to come about this.
90% granite has passed 3 days after.
Well, it's still the whole problem is, like, what determines the 90%, because that's all based
right.
on pit tag, and then you're going to get to that whole delightful discussion about what's pit tag, what's not. We did that at Low Mo already this year, and I don't know how we're going to reinitiate that discussion.
So good at doing it.
I don't want to go into that type of stuff, Tom. It's tough.
Couldn't you just use August 1st, and then if they run into a problem, they coordinate and request with your NMLC that something else be done.
But what is the problem? The
adult.
Problem.
It'd be adult passage.
That helps you
it's the adult.
The criteria.
If it's adult passage, now the question is, what constitutes adult passage? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm also looking at the...
Somebody's making a decision on something.
My opinion, I don't see a problem with it. I think the problem is with their operating this unit 2 on and off and on and off. Because they don't have flexibility of the spillway. They have to put 7 KCFS or 7.5 through the one route, and then trying to make that 30% with these other...
Oh, I know what the problem is.
You know what it is. Yeah.
Well,
but I don't think it's adult passage.
No, that's where it started with adult passage.
Yeah.
Oh. And then it became the issue of, like, how you keep 30% and not keep jigger-jabbering around unit 2 off and on.
Yeah.
You have to bump it up
that's right.
rapidly. I don't know how you get around that.
This is a good one.
I didn't say it, so... but, I mean, honestly, it's like, how rigid are we on the 30%? Really, what it down to. If you're so rigid on the 30%, then you're stuck.
Yeah.
If you have some flexibility, then you can make things work out.
Yeah, I'm looking at the chart. That's exactly it. They don't have any flexibility. They just got the Weir and Spill Bay 8. That's it. When you get down to 35, 31, there's just any room.
Uh-huh. Those, all those other bays open one stop, they're just for make the tail race look a little better.
Training spills.
Yeah, uh-huh. It makes it look a little better. But where the fish are going is through that.
Well, that ought to be what drives
through the Weir.
Drives the issue.
I don't have a problem with the drop of the down to just the Weir operating.
Yeah, the problem is that you're sitting at 7.5, and once you take 7.5, I think below 28, then that 7.5 is more than 30%. And that's why 27 is the magic number.
Okay.
So then you're spilling more than 30%. And then how do you balance that? And I don't
know. What's that?
It's going to change when we have that ASW in, though.
Yeah, that's not this year.
I don't know, but we don't get too excited about it.
I don't want to talk about it.
So, left. No, yeah. Well, it's not going to go less than the lower.
The high crest is going to be
the high crest. It's not going to go higher than the high crest.
So you'd still be stuck with 7 then?
You're still stuck at 7.5.
Yeah. So what about Trevor's idea of just putting in August 1st as the date, and then, but if we need to do it before that time?
I think, based on the forecast, we won't go below this 28, 27, so we wouldn't run into that problem with the operations until we get to that point. And so I think from a flow standpoint and operation standpoint, we can keep it in through August 1, but in the event we run into low flows or to an adult delay issue or something like that, then we can coordinate a different operation. But that's, I mean, as long as there's consensus on that, I think that's reasonable.
River.
Any problems? You got a problem with that, Tom?
No. I mean, we monitored everyone.
So, Greg, let's put together a form for 1 August.
Yeah, 31.5, we're only running, the Spillway Weir and the and one stop on unit on one stop at Spillway 8. Boy, at 26, it's just Spillway Weir and that's it. But after that, it drops off just Spillway Weir. So, all right, I'll put it.
You're saying, Greg, that August 1st might not work for this year.
Yeah, it may not, but
you might run it. Okay. Well,
it may not.
Well, I think what Trevor was saying is put August 1st or close below 28 KCFS, whichever comes first.
Yeah.
And would that work?
We got 26.4 in the table.
So
right, but I mean,
one stop.
As we know it's modeled, we know it's going to be wrong.
Yeah.
So you can go up to 27 and above. So.
And you don't need that one stop. You can go
forget
that one stop. So just go to 7.5.
Yeah.
And when that becomes less than 30%, then that could, what would that be? It's 27?
It's right around
27. 27
below.
But that's not a problem. That wouldn't be a problem.
No. So the lowest possible discharge with the Spillway Weir and High Crest is... is 24 total river flow.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what happened in 2009 is they started getting down to the 20 flows around 28 and noticing that adult delay issue, and that's where this FPP criteria came in, 35 came into play.
So. And that unit problem also, unit 2.
And then that's the FOB criteria of the 32 going from 30%. Down to a constant, so then we go from 30% down to the constant 11, then you run it at 11 as long as you can, and you step it down to a 9, run it as long as you can, and then you step it down to a 7, run it as long as you can, so they're all, gets kind of wonky and low flows.
So Lisa, I have a question on unit 1 and 2, are there any restrictions on their operation right now?
Unit 1, they try to operate it at, the FPP criteria is to operate unit 1 at the upper end of the 1% to push out that eddy. But it flows, I believe the criteria is under 38. They can utilize the full 1% of unit 1, so they should be able, they have more flexibility to turn unit 1 down below 16 KCFS at these low flows.
Yeah.
And unit 2 and all the other ones are full 1%.
That's
not a fixed blade issue, yeah.
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 All right, we'll give it a shot. All right, Bern, we'll write up something to say somewhere around the first, huh?
Yeah.
Shoot
all
right. First and have discussions otherwise.
Right. Keep an eye on it.
All right. Well, let me have some feedback on this, Tom and Bill.
Okay, thanks, Greg.
Yeah. All righty.
So if I hear you right, it's August 1st, unless we reach 28K.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Is the 1st, is that a Friday?
It's a Saturday.
Yeah.
Change on Saturday.
Thursday.
So it'd have to be the next available. Oh, okay, so Thursdays.
So perfect. Perfect. We're on Thursday.
Okay. And don't forget that once you get into 26.7, you can have out of the fluctuations.
Yeah, it's a Thursday.
That's what our problem is that one year. It's like the average was 27.
Yeah. Right.
21.
All right, well, let's move on to 312, which is granite gatewell dipping.
Are we done?
Yeah, I'll cover this one. As you recall, low granite ESBSs, some of those were damaged. And so they were replaced with some modified John Day screens. And those are previously tested in Unit 6C, gatewell slot. And the results from sampling, looking at the scaling and so forth, was favorable. There was no difference in, you know, that we could tell in the scaling of the fish condition compared to the regular ESBSs. And then they further have tested slots 3B and 3C with the John Day screens, modified John Day screens, and we have some gatewell dipping that was done. I think a file was sent out with the POM agenda. It shows that basically in 2B and 2C, that particular day on July 2nd, there was no descaling. Sample size was like a tall fish, and 3B, 3C had like only two fish, so it's pretty small sample size. And then as opposed to Unit 2, which has a regular ESBSs in there, that had a higher descaling. It was 5.26 in 2C, 8% in 2B. And that's a little bit larger sample size, 18 fish and 23 fish, respectively. And then also there's another dip that occurred earlier. I don't believe this was sent out with the agenda, but on June 27th, there was a gatewell 3A, 3B, 3C were dipped, and there's actually a larger sample size. We had like 50 fish in 3B, had about a 1.96% descaling, and 3C there was 16 fish that was no descaling, and then 3A, which has the regular screens in there, was actually 4.6% descaling, so a little bit higher, and that was 83 fish. So far it's looking good, no difference. In fact, it's the fish generally looking better than the plots with the modified John Day screens. And there's three more gatewell dipping days that's going to be reported. I think one already occurred. Don't have the results on that one. Then there's one today and one next Thursday.
They canceled the one for today.
Oh, okay.
Because of low flows.
I see.
They canceled today's.
So a good chance the next week's might be canceled also then, huh?
If the flows keep dropping, I guess so.
Any questions about the gatewell dipping results?
Nope.
Sounds like...
Good job on your successful recycling program.
Yes, we recycled some screens and they're working.
That was Rosanna.
Yeah.
Yes.
Rosanna, it was low flows because they didn't have the flow to put through those test units, right?
I think so. I'm giving this information secondhand, obviously, since Fred called up and said, oh, I'm not doing gatewell dipping today because of low flow.
Okay. Well,
that's all I know.
I heard the week, last week they didn't do it because of the temperature.
Oh.
Temperature of water in the gate.
I know nothing.
Okay.
All I know is.
So they're finding a lot of reasons not to do it.
That's not my problem.
Well, no, I appreciate it.
Yeah. No problem. Yeah, I just know that Fred, we have family issues to take care of, and he goes, I'm getting out of here early because we canceled the Gatewell dipping.
You can't put family issues over.
Well, we try not to. He was staying for Gatewell dipping. He was going to stay and do it.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah.
Well, Mike came in and said, they're done.
I did a lot of that. 1903, I think.
Even had dams. He was dipping.
What were you dipping?
Yes,
the question
yes.
that I have.
At the Dalles.
Well, it sounds like you need to pull out all the old screens and replace them.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for that info. Let's move on to Snake River Jack fish count.
This is a request I think's been sort of like going on for. About years from now, or years, every year there's a question on Snake River fish counts, but for Jack in particular on this one, I have to let you know that all the fish counters that were counting fish last year, the state of Washington are counting fish this year with a private contractor.
Mm-hmm.
We're just wondering, has there been any, calibration, accuracy checking? Because it seems like Jack counts seem to be quite variable between the snake projects.
Yes, you're right, and that's what you look. And if you look at the count for the past number of years, there's always been that doubtful question. In fact, there's actually a test going on. Like counts up between Lower Monumental and Ice Harbor. If you look at the back section of Appendix A on the study section going on too, so that's going on. But yes, there is QAQC. It was a requirement for. Fish counting from, as far as I know, since I've had the contracts on this thing here. There's no different. Each fish counter is tested monthly, once a month, to see what they're doing. And it is calibrated with their supervisor as to what they're doing. They look at the fish window for 1 hour, which is no different than it's been in years past. And they do simultaneous counts. They first, before they even start counting, they line themselves up and make sure that they are looking at the same view of the window as much as they can. Because if you look at it at a different angle, depending upon what fish station you are at, it makes a significant difference if you look between the lines. They want to be straight on as much as possible. The lines have not changed over the years. You have your zero line, you have your 12-inch line, you have your 18-inch adult coho, jack coho.
Well, I must say the forced contract really got him up to speed on the fish counting.
Jack Chinook line. Those have been the same. They're measured out the same on each count station. They've not changed. But they look at this, I mean...
So the bottom line is it's the same fish counters.
Yeah.
The same fish counters and... There's variation in that.
You just have a lot smaller fish this year.
Yeah.
Is that what's coming down to?
I get a weekly report from it. I've got that to see how well they're keeping in with the 95%. That is the bottom line that I accept fish counters. Accuracy test. And if it doesn't pass 95, they go on a little training round. Every one of them.
I mean, really the main
is this
question
an issue is... between the dams, between the Columbia and the Snake?
No, it's just on the Snake River dams. Because we get every at FPAC, Russ can attest to this. Russ gets beat on by his harvest people saying, why are there these discrepancies? We seem to be having a problem.
True.
We start taking a look and we see that there seems to be... Maybe this year is just different because we have a lot smaller fish. I don't know, but it seems like the jack counts this year have been a little more... fluctuating between the dams in the years past.
Okay.
They just have a bunch of smaller fish this year, and it's just you have a lot more right on that breakpoint line of size. That so it's like one guy looks at it one way, and it's a centimeter over or a centimeter under. I don't know. We're just wondering because you have a new contract out there. We're just wondering if you still have the same methodologies. If so,
everything's the same except for the management of the contract.
The contract, and throw another little harebrained thing into this thing too. When we first were discussing this about 3 months ago, the counters are saying to us
asking me and the supervisors, what are the jack lines this year? And I sort of got a feeling that, wow, does this mean that jack lines have changed a lot in the past without me knowing about this? And so I made sure that they know what jack lines were, and that is talk to them each time before they start counting fish, and we're there together. So basically the standard has not changed from day one, that, you know, from 5 years, 7 years ago to present now that I know of.
You know, it's been a while since we talked about Jack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to talk about it and have a Jack meeting?
No.
Okay.
I think you pretty much leave it.
Because I will make you the chair.
Yeah, Black Jack.
There we go. You probably want to get a hold of some of the people in Yakima about the Jack line, too.
Mm-hmm. No, I think pretty much we leave it to TAC. If TAC is still saying a Jack is this size, that's what we go with.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're going to go with.
Jack data.
Okay, good. All right, so why don't we have Ken talk about the ACDP or ACDP, whatever, ACDC?
No, that was back then.
That's the 80s. I'm still stuck in the 80s. Go.
Can't explain there.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, ACDP, data collection, well granted.
It's growing out.
The flow forecast are showing that we'll be down to about 30 KCFS, maybe a little bit more on Sunday and Monday, July 14th, 15th. So the data point would be 30 KCFS with the 18 spill on Sunday, 14th, and then on 15th they can collect an additional data point of the 30 K with all spill. And the reason for that is because on that day is the moisture survey that's going to be occurring for the power off surface, and that's going to require the power off outage from 9:30 in the morning. Starting at 9:30 in the morning, so the survey will start at 9:30 on that day, the ADCP to get that data point.
Questions, comments?
And those will be the last two data collection efforts for this modeling effort. So after these two, we should be done, and then they can start working on the model and building the best new helpful ever.
I heard the model is pretty well done.
Yeah. Already done. Yeah. So we're going to just data to verify.
This is for
verification of the model.
Verification. Calibration.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to Portland.
Or do you want to cover all the MOC?
No. Bonneville updated dewatering plans? Progress? Yeah. No progress.
You know, we have a dewatering expert that's currently working for you that may be able to put some time into it on every other Sunday.
Every other Sunday.
I'd like you to call me. No, me and Andy talked about it, actually, and he's going to try and a little bit towards that, because he does spend a whole day out there every other Sunday.
All right, so dewatering plans haven't been updated until Andy comes back to you.
No,
until Andy comes home.
It's
like a song, a couple of songs here. Oh yeah, you guys didn't know that. Sorry,
no.
Andy has been—he's detailed working for me in the fish section at RDP or.
Oh.
Camp 300 or whatever we're called. Yeah. Lock 300.
With any would be the path. What the heck do you do? You have nothing to do now.
I drive the ship, man.
Are you like Captain Hazelwood?
Have to burn.
Yeah. There's somebody has to drive the bus.
And no
you
one
know.
Is a Captain Hazelwood.
To get to
so
good
awesome.
To great, somebody has to drive the bus, Tom. And I'm glad you're on board.
I want my fare back.
That's what the local ranger said.
That's right.
Not yet.
So with that, let's go to John Day, TSW, into season operation. Apparently it's on a holiday.
It's on August 31st this year falls on a Friday or Saturday or something. So
you want to see them out beforehand.
We just need to clarify that it'll be on the last available work day of the spill season.
That's when the TSW's out, then you'll go back to a 30% spill pattern until the 31st.
Spill rate won't change.
Yeah, we go through this every year at one project or another.
But that is... on the list of MPP changes, and I'll
Is the 31st a Friday?
Yeah, Saturday.
Saturday. So this will come up next year, too. Thursday. You'll take it out on Thursday.
Or Tuesday.
Don't know. You're fine now. So
I think TSWs
and John Day will be out on Thursday. Then we'll have 3% spill without TSWs on Friday. And then the 31st, that'll be the last day spill.
Correct. Following that, guys?
You got it, Gary?
Yeah, I'm just wondering why... we just can't run it through
because it takes a crane and a rigging crew and all of that. It's not just a push button operation like it is with the other budgets.
You just can't
use a tandem gate as a closure device yet. They still have it. That was, remember, we discussed that for the goose issue. Can't use a tandem gate. There's still no one's comfortable
no one's
with using a tandem gate as
shut
a closure device yet.
Okay.
Maybe once a season, we'll see. I don't know. But of course, still uncomfortable with the vibration.
So the other projects that have TSWs in, well, it's just a push button, so it goes through midnight. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because you have a crane dedicated to it.
Yeah. All right, we're going to do the add-on to the agenda, which is the fish units at Bonneville Powerhouse 2 outage. You need to extend the outage, apparently.
Yeah, I was asked to... extended by a week. It's scheduled now for the 23rd of November. So I believe it's Saturday, and they would like to back it to the 18th. They have to do digital governors, and their concern is that
18th of December
November.
18th of November. So they need longer,
so
not extension, but earlier start date.
Yeah,
their
concern is that they have to do some work with sending out components, and they're just afraid that they're not going to get them back in time to get them back in to do F1, and they didn't want to bump into March because they know that's not acceptable. And the question was that if you push it back to the 18th, then we're only a week away from the proposed outage for the line bird work. So I guess my question is, does it need to come back in that for that week or not? So, you know, the Lamprey folks are proposing closing the north entrances, which we can maintain with one fish unit starting. I can't remember their date. It's October 15th.
Their goal is to be done by the 10th of November 10th. Their goal is to be done by the 10th.
Right. So then we're asking it to come back down on the 18th, and I guess my question is, do they need to come back for those 8 days?
You're just saying just leave no north units.
Just leave it out.
Just leave unit 2 out and basically not use north units from... however long.
Right.
Because with the one unit, you can basically keep one side going, not both.
Right. Well, we could probably keep it going with just one entrance.
Yeah.
I think with the north upstream,
it just said those north entrances will be closed for the landfill work, and we really only need one at that.
And I would bring back the entrances, maybe with the exception of north upstream, but just not the one fish unit, because we could probably still maintain criteria.
Yeah, with one.
With one.
That's what I was thinking.
And I don't know what the reality of them getting that done by November 9th is they've done, obviously, but that's a different topic.
How much flow goes through those fish units? Is it
5K total?
About 25. Yeah, so just FU2 would be a 2.5K
reduction
there.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Pretty
fine there.
Unless you're a
flashback or slow block. Do too much damage on those off.
You
do that.
Yeah. Do you have any issues, Gary? I don't.
No.
Not that time of year.
No, it's really good steel that when you're steel.
And you're still having entrances there.
Yeah,
we wouldn't change.
Now, don't take this. So that doesn't mean they can't be totally lazy and take a lot of extra time. So.
No, yeah.
So now they better bring them back.
Actually, they were only asking for to back it from that Saturday to that Monday, but then I was looking at the dates and going, well.
And they have extra 6 days anyways.
Why not give them the time?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, that leads us to 3-3 research fitter rig updates. We have the AFF modification.
I have a note here that Walla Walla, I wanted to add Ice Harbor to their update.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that one? Yeah, I did. Did you want to talk Walla Walla, Ice Harbor on your update?
Yeah, we can talk about Ice Harbor on the update.
What's that polar bear?
About the fish trap
thing.
No, John, no.
Yeah, no.
The line one disconnect and a main turning unit number three outage. Got some feedback from the project on these things here.
Hey, Greg, wait up. You said you wanted to add something on Ice Harbor, not in the coordination form, or is this what?
No.
Stores an update.
Okay, so that you want.
At the beginning of the meeting, when we were doing the agenda, you mentioned that you wanted to do something on Ice Harbor. You didn't say what it was, though.
Oh, I didn't say what it was. I'm sorry. It's a Ice Harbor coordination.
Okay, well, that's in the agenda. So let's move on, and we'll come back to
that.
We'll
do that shortly, then.
Thank you.
Yep, sorry. AFF. Wow.
Wow,
I just haven't gotten so many emails from Tammy about mortalities before.
They're almost all lamprey.
Yeah. So what have we done?
Two sockeye and
what have we done?
So far.
How many?
14 Chinook.
Jeez.
Yeah. Two sockeye, six lamprey, and I was working on this last night, and I didn't get... this is the 27th of June, and then I threw in the last two on the 9th and 10th of July. But I think there may be a few between 27 June and 9 July as well that I didn't work.
Oh, yeah.
So there's, you know, 14 upwards of
Chinook. How many of the Chinook were Jacks?
Two. Actually, Jacks. There were several. I don't know. I didn't have them in here by Jacks. There were too many Jacks.
Yeah.
And then there was a few Jacks. And
our participant has left the conference. Adults.
Yeah, I just kind of, because I'm not a big lover of the Jack. It's more the adults that shoot oversized Chinook adults that I care about more. That's why I don't know if you broke it out to even Jacks or not.
Yeah, well, my opinion is...
Hey, I'm a lover of Jacks, man. Come on.
Those
little guys love the Jack salmon.
You don't have the luxury of that one, Tom.
Good little guy, huh?
They all
pretty do. Much. They're screwed up the fecundancy, man. Screw up the gene pool.
That's our point. That's our role. That's our role.
That may not be true either. Anyway.
I'm doing a good job.
So what's the limit?
So what's the limit?
So what do we do? And
what I haven't done, and I don't know, the obvious question is how this compared to other years. But I remember not far back thinking I needed to do this, and I think I actually did come up with a tally. I haven't been able to go back and dig around and find out what that was, but it's not unusual to see quite a few fish die. We get a long list of MFRs every year out of that facility, so this is not totally unusual.
It is earlier than normal.
It is earlier,
and there's more lamprey.
The temperature or is
and our modifications were supposed to improve survival.
2011 was when we had, looking at just the numbers of MFRs sent out, 2011 was our record year for...
Our participant has joined the conference.
Somebody just joined?
This is John, I reconnected.
Well, the number sample, okay. I think that's a good point. It should be a breakdown of percentage of the number sample, too. Because you get out really high year. We're at 11, we sampled twice as many fish, then it would show that, as
11
as
we had WDFW in there sampling fish. But that was in August when we got those mortalities.
They were in there then. We have Idaho in there this year. Quick Fix always in there. So I don't know if that's changed all that much. I mean, the efforts.
Is Washington in there, though?
It is, unless we shut it down. What?
Has Washington started yet?
And really, it isn't. It's the facility runs for Quick Fix sampling.
Yeah.
And I don't know that this is a sampling issue as much as a facility operation issue. So I would look at it more than runtime. The facility probably, because it's going to be hard to say, exactly how many fish went through there. I don't know. Anybody got a count? I mean, what goes through the flume, we don't know. You could look at the run size in general for that time of year, get an idea by species of that. I haven't done that. I mean, there's an analysis that could be done here. That's
has joined the conference.
What I've done. I've just tallied up what I have. I would go back.
I just think it's important to keep it in context with the current run year.
Sure.
How is that reflected? And proportionally, I think, would be the obvious way to compare apples to apples.
I think having the show is important, though.
We got 14 dead Chinook, and I don't know what we do about any of this right now. Shut it down. I mean, that's what you do to stop it, because we don't see a lot of dead fish floating around the ladders. I did see, you do see one occasionally, but whether this is a result of the lab in operation or if it's just dead fish floating down the ladder, I don't think it's just dead fish floating down the ladder.
So what are some of the theories out there?
Well, I'd say that you get weak fish going through. You got high velocities. You've got still have the same velocity, same volume of water running through the facility. Same velocities. We just have a baffle in there to give a little sanctuary. We still have the same amount of water going through the drain. So any fish that's weak is going to end up on that grizzly and die. And that's what we're seeing, I think, is that we're seeing that. And whether or not the baffle actually caused the problem or not, I'd say it's early to say that.
It's the case. I don't know.
And I'd say it's early to say that shortening the pipes has made a difference or not either. It seems to have reduced some of the frequency, but there's still an awful lot of dead fish in there. So
it hasn't really stopped the problem.
I mean, it kind of comes down to if you want to run that facility, you're going to have dead fish show up on that grizzly.
Yeah. So you're convinced that it's a facility that's responsible for mortality. It's not just simply collecting fish that are mortality.
Just floating down the ladder. I don't think so.
Because some of them look really old. I mean,
right. But I mean, how did you get them off the? You know, a couple days down there on that's going to be all it takes for them to look pretty old. And if you miss them a day or two, and then finally catch them, they're
right. So there's somewhat of a detection issue. But if you assume that your detection is the same all the time, you can kind of compare fresh to old.
And I don't think you can make that assumption. Okay. I can't make that assumption that you didn't miss a fish and then finally catch it because it's rotted.
It's tough for them.
So we're just going to continue keeping an eye on it and seeing if, you know, as the temperatures start to increase here, if there's an effect.
Well, I think you need to padlock the facility.
I know from the lamprey side, there's been some calls to have some kind of meeting about the higher reported.
There's quite a few lamprey showing. Lamprey MFRs have been spread across several issues. So there was the Cascade Island issue as well, which is a picket issue. So, you know, you see a lot of MFRs with dead lamprey, but they are from several locations. So you got to take that into consideration. And that's been stopped.
But we've never seen this many lamprey dead at the FF. This is something that's different.
Well, I've tallied up six.
In years past, how many we had?
Yeah, well, I mean, there I'd look at the run size has gone up a bit too over the last couple of years as well.
Yeah.
Well,
from Dilly to Poo?
Yeah, well, Poo's better than Dilly, so.
Yeah. What's after,
Poo?
Month? You don't want to know.
Huh? Are you saying August is usually the worst month?
You said it went up.
Yeah, for the AFL.
You go by volume.
You know, it was interesting, you know, the reporting from the researchers that fish might have been holding at the end of the pipe, and the pipe was very close to the water line.
Right.
The numbers of shad that we had in there this year, I wonder if all those dead shad was acting as a weir on that trash rack, raising up the water levels, was, you know, might make that holding in the pipe worse and lead to more saltwater fatigue and mortality.
Yeah, which
was so in the empty water, there was how many shad in there?
Oh. 2000 in that collection. Half of them dead, half not, and 65 in that little pool, 65 lampreys. I mean, we don't normally do it all mid-season deep water, so that might be totally normal.
That addressed one of the symptoms or one of the issues, but, you know, if you look at that system for lamprey, point of view, it's not a pretty system to get through the sharp edges and high velocities over that shelf, and then boom, it drops into a deep area.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I still think you may be seeing more lamprey moving through than you have in the past, and because of that, we're killing more of them.
It's been in operation for a long time. We've had decent runs back
really
like in 9
about
10.
Lamprey, you probably shouldn't.
We'll stop all the University of Idaho tracking studies as well. That'll be popular.
Why can't we just raise those leads out there like we do for lamprey elsewhere and give them a chance to go under and not direct them into the facility? Yeah.
That might be the way to do
that. That might help. Yeah, we can do that.
Like an inch and a half?
Just raise it.
Inch and a half?
But the way for the lamprey to get through the trash rack, they have to go around and bypass. You know, they're not going through the pier system. So they're falling back from the Ice Harbor ladder into the lab, in which those hydraulic conditions, nothing's changed.
They have to cover from the ladder down into the...
Most definitely.
Well, they could be going through when they take it to bypass and coming through the collection pool.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. When the bulkhead's pulled and they're going through on bypass, and they're falling back into the lab.
But not just coming from the ladder itself down.
Not like from the exit.
The main
ladder. Not from the exit, no. Yeah.
That's
bypass route.
Yeah,
the Ice Harbor.
Do you need a camera or something down there?
No. Do you guys, isn't there a trap in there? To trap them in there? They're pretty successful trapping them in there, right?
Yeah. And that's been the source of all the fish for research and
trials. Yeah, this year seems like more than previous years. Typically, they're fishing a few different spots.
They've
just fished that one trout this year.
There was a lot of, I mean, what, like 50 a day or something like that?
Yeah, they're catching 60.
50, 60 a day. We're trying, I mean, that's
yeah. It's dropped down now to like 20s and 30s.
That's a lot. Right.
Yeah. Why wouldn't a camera work? I mean, that's such a good idea.
Why is it information? Because if you go off to lamprey cameras, they're not spectacular. So it's like, for some reason, the lamprey are now all over here.
It's because you put that entrance over there. They all went, whoa, I don't want to go through that. Well, how do they go?
I don't know. We can look into the camera idea.
Just to see how they're interacting with the weir, and then also on the trash rack there, how they're collecting it, and they could determine exactly when it happens and not find them 5 days later or something like that.
Are you talking about a camera where?
Two. One next to the weir so we can see how fish are interacting. If lamprey are actually having a hard time getting through it, smaller salmon are actually having a hard time getting through the weir. And then at the trash rack where the fish are ending up to see, you know, if the researchers can look down without even scraping and say, hey, there's a fish stuck on there, and I can't even see it from above.
Yeah, the bubbles in there.
It'd have to be a...
There's no way you're going to see it. There's no light.
We can put a light on the camera, but...
Yeah, but I mean, it's...
I was thinking more of a hydroacoustic camera type thing.
It's a pretty noisy environment for acoustics. Very noisy.
But that maybe it's so much easier to deal with, you know, real time, you know exactly what you're seeing. Of the two tools, it's the simpler one to deploy. It's cheaper.
See what they can come up with.
That'd be cool.
Come up with an idea at least.
So I think that's one thing we need to do is come up with a fix. I know it's fun to say that Rich just put a lock on it, but I think we have a lot of good engineers. I think we should get some engineers on this thing and fix it. I mean, it's going
to
happen.
I've been trying to do that for a while.
So, I know.
That's easy to say.
Obviously, the grooming is worse.
Honestly,
we'll be don't have that good engineer. Hey, yeah.
Although, he's like, don't put the padlock.
Still alive. So.
What's that?
That AFFP is still alive. It's not video?
Oh, we'll look at potential installing
cameras.
So we need to continue monitoring.
If there's any kind of thing we can do.
And we talked to Fitterwick to have an end-of-year lessons learned and what are the mods we need to do. Yeah, I think that is definitely going
to
be.
So I think that camera could add to that. It gives us a little more information on what's going on. Some ideas.
Yeah.
So what is a number before you put a padlock on it?
Where are these fish being accounted for? Is it in the harvest?
It's basically whose permit it comes
from. Whose take is it?
Yeah. Whose take is it? Is it going through the harvest?
Harvest takes the stuff from Crickfit, the University of Idaho. I don't know where
that goes into the take permit.
That's our. Hmm. That must be your.
That's their take determination.
Yeah, you guys gave a take determination on that. I don't think we're close on either one. I mean, honestly.
It comes down to who, you know, how do you, there's, okay, well, there's a couple of issues here. One, almost all of these have been lost in the channel itself, in the flume.
Yep.
I shouldn't say flume. It's in the channel, in the drain channel. A couple have been lost in the Grail pool, which is clearly a research issue. And we have two of them that I think something can be done about right away. And Tom's not going to like this because they were Lenny Jacks and care less, but I don't think that we should be killing fish in the project, especially salmon. So we've lost two of them in the flume that goes to the anesthetic tank, probably because of the flap in there. It's just a little bit too tough for a fish that long to get through. Shouldn't be killing them there, and that's something that can be, I think, probably addressed.
Your flap is fine. James is still not going to
put a jack flapper in there.
A jack flap.
A jack flap. No, it's the mini jack flap.
Okay, mini jack flap. There you go.
That's a bonus.
Yeah.
That's right.
Actually, you should be getting rid of the mini jacks. They're like shad.
Tom, if you want to get rid of them somewhere else, that's fine. But
mini jack removal program.
Yeah, that's
fine.
Jack propose that.
Just have smaller net mesh size and just catch mini jacks out there.
I might catch a few of the things in the brawl.
There's one maybe potential short term easy fix.
I think is to adjust that flap.
Yeah, take a look at that. Okay.
Come up with a better way of.
We're saving the mini jacks.
Your mini jacks.
We've saved the mini jack.
So you need a jack.
I get the gold star for the day.
Fix that problem. And the rest of it is, I don't know. I think.
Get more eyes out there and look at it. Can't really see anything.
Get a whole lot of people scratching their heads.
It looks fine to me.
Well, honestly, the amount that with the harvest stuff they're allowed to take.
they're not going to be anywhere close to their perfect
thing. I know. This is just going to slide on by.
Yeah, but I mean, there's obviously an issue with the lamprey coming back around.
No, that's the one we're concerned about.
You know, what can we do there?
Right.
So start scratching your head.
Do away with a fair amount of lamprey to get in there if we raise those leads. But they're trapping lamprey in there.
Right.
But they want to get their hands on something. You're going
to trap a sockeye in there.
You're going to get away from that, too. So that's for research and tribe. So
I suppose you're going to say that was a jack, too, so who cares?
It was a mini jack sockeye.
Well, I mean, it's worth a try.
I would think so. They just might have to get them from elsewhere for research and translocation.
Well, I'm not really happy. I mean, I was going to talk about that, too. I mean, trapping sockeye in a lamprey trap is not a good idea.
No.
So it's better to have those traps in locations where salmon can't get to.
The tough thing from the researcher's perspective is that they've done so many projects now where that's the spot they've trapped the fish have had a similar experience. So even though they do trap fish other places, they almost never use those for research. They want to have a consistent source of fish that those fish have had the same experience coming through the system so that they can compare this year's fish to last year's fish to the last 10 years' fish. So I just remind people that that's where the research fish come from.
Well, it's possible by raising the leads that they'll still get enough fish to sample. I mean, it may not be fully on their sample. It depends how many excess they're getting. They might be getting way more than they need. Anyway.
Right. Are they making their target for research? No problem.
Yeah, the researchers are making their targets, and the tribal collection is going well, too. It's been a good run year. You know.
But still,
years that aren't as good, then it gets to be more.
Up to the lamprey folks. If they want to kill fish to catch fish, fine.
I don't think anybody really has a clear answer as far as where the mortality is coming from this year. It's a new thing, and we're all trying to grapple with that.
That's a good idea. I mean, I think that is a house of horrors for lamprey to get through. So you have to recognize that you want them in there or not when they're trapping. And you know, really, that whole system, the way it works, it's not a good. A good thing for, what's that, Bill? Hey, you want to step outside?
I did.
I thought it would be bad.
You're not done to stay out there, huh? Well, I don't know when you're going to get done.
You know, I was thinking the same thing as when you were talking about ice harvest. Okay?
I think Bill's complaining that this is AFF. We talk about this every year. So.
Well, we do, and
well,
I guess
we're going downhill. That's we're improving.
Yeah, so nice.
Yeah,
I mean, this is something that we can punt to. We should.
Sports and high school.
Our AFF
group.
Are you able to raise his picket leads an inch and a half now? Can they pull them and put spacers on them and drop them back down? Or
we could potentially, yeah. I mean, you don't have the same risk, obviously, when we're trying to...
Right, we don't care if fish get under
right,
them.
Right, if it's exactly an inch and a half.
We should do 2 inches.
We probably could.
Shotgun.
I like that a lot.
6 inches, 12 inches.
There you go.
Solve all our problems.
There goes your
shadow. I just really on. Can't get any fish in this area.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. You're authorized to put a 1 foot.
First you go each
it's all underwater.
So is that what we want to do with raises?
I don't know. Is that something we... How do we determine if we raise it an inch and a half or not? I mean, if the fish are getting... Lamprey are getting... The numbers are getting caught and used for research and translocation, then why can't we raise it? This is a good run this year. And see what happens.
It's definitely starting to fade now, I think. Luckily, the tribes have... collected most of their fish already. I think Nez Perce is the last tribe still collecting at Bonneville, and they're down. They're looking for about 30 to 40 fish.
Why do you guys think that lamprey will go through an inch and a half slot and not go up the ladder anyway? I mean, normally at the count windows, they have problems going through the count window because of the velocities.
Right. I didn't suggest
in this case, the velocities are standard ladder. So I'm wondering why we would
expect make a difference.
To go under. Instead of actually, I don't know that's going to make a difference. It's a good idea because it's what we've done elsewhere, but we've done that because lamprey are having trouble getting through those areas. I don't know that they're specific. They probably just hang out and then you pull the leads and they'll go. Those that do go and those that are moving will probably continue to move up the trap.
Would they be inclined, though, to go straight rather than make that left turn?
And that's more or less what they do at Cascades Island. They don't have Count Station to go past. You got a UMT to choose right. from. Instead, they'll go through two sets of leads. They'll squeeze
yeah.
through.
They'll, yeah. I don't know. Maybe it'll work. I'm not sure. I don't know. And you got a, that's true. The UMT, you'd think they'd go up that as well. As
Well, I'd suggest that you talk to the Lamprey people and see if it's an idea that you guys want to pursue. Raising
you're having a Lamprey task people next week,
I next week, yeah. So, yeah.
And maybe, pretty easy thing you know, say, hey, here's a thought. How about if we raise it an inch and a half and,
I mean, cause
and see what happens?
If they're close to having their sample size right. done and they're not needing more Lamprey,
they'll guys, probably it'll be done by the time they need
it. Yeah, so I would say you raise it and then you have hopefully less Lamprey to deal with in the AFF.
Worth a try.
Yeah.
Might clear some shot, too. You never know. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Is there anything else to talk about? We have AFF researcher configuration memo.
Washington.
Is there anything? Where is Ann?
There's nothing to talk about there.
Nothing
yeah.
to talk about.
Is Ann on the phone?
Nope. She is on training.
No, this is Ann Stevenson.
They have a pretty good plan. I think it'll be fine.
Okay.
Yeah, it looked to me like it's they've got the plan. It's tight. As long as you guys aren't worried about space or, you know, they're squeezing in beside the...
As long as they hire thin people. Hire workers.
Thin workers, yeah, between the flume and the tank.
Yeah.
About that wide.
No guys named Bubba that like deep fried chicken. So... There's not going to be room.
Okay.
All right, so Ice Harbor adult fish trap update.
There you go.
There you go, Bill.
We're back to you.
All right.
We can all go take a bathroom break now. Who's the Ice Harbor adult fish trap updater?
This is John. I have some information on that. The trap was shut down for the season on the 25th of June, and the jib motor... train, we think it's been fixed, the overload problem that they had with that, so the indications are that it's been fixed, but I'm still a little bit skeptical, but that's what I'm told.
Why are you skeptical?
So it's not in operation at this time.
Why are you skeptical, John?
Mm-hmm.
John, this is Trevor. Why are you skeptical about that being fixed?
Well, you know, like any new thing, we always have fixes, but it wasn't operating very long after they did the fix, so how long did they operate it after they fixed it?
Are they still doing something with the delay? Like before they were able to get around the problem by changing the delay or eliminating the delay, are they still doing that, or is that...
No, they're not using the trap at all now. It's shut down.
Right, but since they got it fixed, I mean...
Yeah, they say they have it fixed, so...
Okay.
So what I'm saying is the proof of the pudding is in the eating. In other words, will it work next time around? So I don't know how long ago they fixed it.
It'll work in
the bottle.
That's right.
Any questions on that, Bill?
No.
All right. How about the RCC update?
Ooh.
Ooh. Okay, come see on, that? You're up. Over there chatting up a storm now.
It's on Facebook, you know.
Yeah.
So, everybody's been
drinking
waiting
your black
for.
Stuff.
Yesterday's average at Lower Granite, 35.4 KCFS, forecasted 5 days out to be at 32, and 10 days out to be at 34. So basically just hovering right there in the low 30s. McNary, yesterday's average 213.8, 5 days out down to 205, 10 days out around 213. Bonneville, yesterday's average 206.9. 5 days out, down to 203, and 10 days out, up to 217. So we're seeing a slight uptick at that 10-day mark there.
What's that slight uptick? Is that a... what's going on with that?
It's very complicated.
Snowmelt.
Very complicated.
Oh!
Snowmelt, yeah.
No, it's... Canadian is there some ration?
It's coming
out.
Arrow.
Arrow? Yeah.
Okay.
Because Canadian's got more water. We're trying to shape the water. EPA talked with us and said, hey, what should we try to target? And they're just moving water. So.
Okay.
Way to go, Tom.
Hey, I stay awake at some of these meetings. As few as I can.
Yeah, I don't believe that. That's
some of the two.
Yeah, no,
that's too bad.
No. Arrow.
Thank you.
I just feel like so terrible. Micah, Arrow.
All right.
Damn Canucks.
So, Lamprey updates. the Washing the Shore lamprey structure. Do you want to give an update, Nathan, or do you want to give an update, or
just feel free?
Okay. Well, I can only tell you that there is an ROV inspection occurring today.
We're not going to shut off the machines this time?
No, they're coming in with the fish field unit's boat. They're putting a small ROV in with a video camera in the hatch, going down through the flume to get down to the splitter and see what
is... And if it pops out somewhere along the way, they'll know that...
Yeah, or it drops out of the bottom. I mean, there's a lot of theories on what happened, but this is the next step. To see what's occurring underwater.
They had trouble with vision last time. I think they've got that rectified this time, so they'll have a better way, because I know they said they couldn't really...
It was flow problems last time.
Flow problems in a different ROV, different... I mean, they put the big one in. This one's going through the flume.
Yeah, it's going to be inside.
So, hopefully, I guess Andy was telling me the fiberglass antenna, pit antennas, had a potential crack in them. So we don't know if it's separating,
so
because
flow,
it's
the more open and the less flow, it could actually clump.
Well, who knows? So I mean, the vibration, it's fiberglass connecting two metal heavy
out there
pieces.
On Friday last week, I mean, I've seen this one. There was a huge amount of flow coming out of the something. There was nothing.
It's been off.
Totally
off.
Quiet.
It's
off. Well, if it's off, so.
No, it was before, on Friday it was?
It's been off since the first ROV inspection.
Oh,
that's good.
Don't feel anything. It's probably
kind of hard to tell. Yeah. So I didn't hear any sounds either. But okay.
So there should be an email coming out this afternoon or tomorrow with an update on what they see.
Yeah. It's not scheduled until 1 o'clock. So
right, they're getting all the clearances done right now. That's the only update I know on that structure, and then what's going on in the fall.
And they've also reinstalled the pieces to the final rest box. Has been, you know, they pulled them off, worked them up, put them back on.
Okay, so that's done?
So yeah, the rest is in place.
Okay.
I think that the concern is they could be having some unwanted impacts, if there's something that's really out of whack underwater, and that's what they're the fear is. So they're trying to address that with the ROV inspection.
Well, yeah, okay. How far are they going down the ROV? To look at
as far as they can.
To the splitter.
To the splitter, which is, I got a picture.
Diagram of that.
Bingo! Look at that. That's the chair of FOMI. I've provided all I need to.
Okay.
So
I'm
going
to comment well on that.
See that?
That was
bam! Wham, bam! Bam!
Well, there's a large amount.
Does your elbow hurt when you pat yourself in the back? That's got
I have to do it myself because nobody else will.
Like, yeah. My shoulder would be dislocated if I tried that.
Ever since I went through LDP, I'm a different man.
Yeah, it's all flow. Well, yeah, a bunch of bubbles can cause that.
All right, so enough of that.
Yeah, we want to ask what's the longest run time we've had on this structure so far this year?
Yeah.
More than 2 weeks.
Don't ask.
Yeah, don't ask. You said you were going to ask that, so.
Yeah, a lot of the things are off.
That's why they're all going up the ladder.
Well,
we got it.
That's right. Maybe if we turn that thing back on, we're not going to have any problems with mortality in the AFF.
Could be.
Yeah, they'll all die in that.
So, collection protocols. I guess Aaron Jackson was going to write something up, bring it back to FBOM. Any word on that?
Yeah, I'll have an update for that. So, I've completed this framework of the protocol, but this, of course, is still the critical piece. And I talked to Aaron Jackson after the last FPOM. He agreed to do this. I checked in with him at the beginning of this week, and he hadn't had time to get to it yet. It's a, you know, it's a tough thing because he's a full-time researcher. And he has to try to kind of go back and do this analysis, and he hasn't had time to get to it. So I haven't heard from him yet. I also sent an email to Mary Mosier at the beginning of the week to see if she had some suggestions, because of one temperature criteria I have seen was 21 degrees C. That was in one of Mary's reports. She referenced an earlier report. When I looked at the earlier report, there was no reference to 21 degrees C in there. So I'm not sure where the number comes from, except that it's very similar to Salmonids. So I think that's just sort of the default. So I'm still waiting to hear back from Mary Jackson. Ultimately, that's the answer. And from Mary as well, I'd kind of like to try to get a couple of opinions on it. Those are the two best people to ask, but I haven't heard anything back yet.
So you guys have come up with a system to get the traps out of the ladder since the
your hoist, your whatever the hoist we're supposed to put it
jib
in.
Hoist jib hoist crane.
Jib hoist is still not in and may not be until this fall.
Right. So the interim operation is that the project, the John Day project, has moved a small crane over there, and they come every morning that they want to operate the trap, and they operate the trap using the small crane.
Got that worked out.
All righty. Thanks for that update. Any avian updates, 3-6?
I don't have any.
You got anything, avians?
I can just provide what we've seen this season, which is essentially a mirror of last season. Two projects that really see a lot of birds actively foraging are the Dalles and McNary. And they stand out head and shoulders above the other six projects, which are more similar. So I did send out this update to the avian work group, and I'm hoping that's going to stimulate some discussion there, and we can plan a meeting.
I would like to see a meeting, yeah.
And you also might want to throw this twist there, we get, like, and have locations, is there something we can modify, like at the wire array at the Dalles to improve or to cover areas that you see or something like that?
Is it below the bridge?
Yeah, it's downstream of the bridge is where the big problem is.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah, so that's a situation where in the past we've used boat hazing there to pretty good effect. It's expensive to do. Currently, the boat's been at John Day. It's been very effective at John Day. They did move it down to the Dalles for a while.
For like
a couple days.
A day or two, yeah.
And then all the birds showed up at John Day, so Miro started screaming. Boat's back up at John Day.
Yeah. Is the McNary Dalles pattern unusual, or is it like that every year?
This is the first, this is the second year that I've seen it all pulled together in one spot, but I think there is a history there. Just based on the fact that people like Claude Porty at the Dalles is very much interested in the avian issue. He volunteered to be on the subcommittee of the task group. Carl Duggar at McNary also volunteered to be on the task group. So that's the biggest pattern I see, is if people have a perceived bird problem, they want to get involved and do something about it. So I think it probably does play out.
So we need to get that task group together, chaired by Walla Walla.
So that's Ann Satter.
Anybody in Walla Walla that can talk to that? Ken?
Yeah, I was going to ask some questions about that. Do we want all the project biologists to be at least in the initial meeting?
I don't know. Yeah, it makes some sense to have something to talk about before we...
As many as can be there wouldn't be a bad idea, but yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say don't hold it if you can't get everybody at the meeting.
At least they could call in... is there, for the initial meeting, do we want to bring some data to discuss? Like initially, do we need some information from the projects to bring to the meeting?
Yeah. So the avian task group is under 7-2. It's those are the folks identified. Maybe whoever the chair is at Walla Walla can get together with the Walla Walla and maybe Nathan and talk about some data, and then contact your respective district projects and find out what they have to at least put together some kind of information. I mean, you've got your system.
The portal's up there. It's up and running. Yeah, files have been feeding it. So we have a lot of information.
I mean, if they have any kind of like...
But the real question is, what's the kind of the goals and objectives like, of this group?
I think a conference call for that first one might be worth... while with some kind of a report.
But what about just the objectives of this group? That's something I was kind of hoping to get clarified a little bit today, because there's, I think one big objective is potentially looking into lethal take and how that allocation is currently spread unevenly in the basin, at least in my eyes. And so that was addressing Fish and Wildlife Service and USDA to try to see if we can reallocate some of the take.
Good luck with that. After yesterday's meeting, talking about the Chris Cormorants, I'm not really expecting much love, lethal take.
From which side?
U.S. Fish.
Yeah. So. Well, that's a different issue. I think that's a
really?
Fair question. Oh, it is. Yeah, it is.
Well, because
they're already issuing take
they're allowing
for that, so that's already ongoing. The Cormorant thing is a whole different level. I mean, we're talking 10,000 birds versus 2,000.
No, but when they bring up the meeting that, we have lethal take of cormorants at the projects, when they don't even have lethal take of the projects.
We don't have it. Well, that was a little weird. But
yeah. That's my point, is that they're very, I think, very touchy about any additional lethal take right now.
I haven't really got that. I mean, that one was just wrong. I don't know where that came from.
I think that the question in my mind is not additional tax.
I know, it can be reallocation.
Where the take is allocated.
Yeah.
Yeah, but are the upriver projects really want to cough up? Do you think the TVs well, want to give up their...
I'm sure they don't.
We need to run through the issues of the use of lethal take and its purpose and its effectiveness and how effective are we being at these dams, what we have. McNary has just a few lines in the tail race right now, below powerhouse, so that's a gaping hole. If we're seeing that the hazers are able to do the job at each of the dams because we only have one crew or one boat, then that's an issue. I mean, if we need hazers and they're not being effective, or what we have isn't effective, then we need to address that. That's the goals of it, I think, is to go dam by dam by dam, use the data that we've collected, and say, you know, do we have an issue, and how do we resolve it? Simple as that. And McNary, I think, is still an issue. And I've talked with folks about ideas. I know, Ken, you've talked with that one guy that that had some ideas. I have no idea what his idea is.
Yeah, that guy, he's quite an entrepreneur, I think.
Yeah, he is, and yeah. He's got some idea. He won't tell me what it is, but by God, it'll work.
He wouldn't tell me either.
He's not going to tell us until we hire him.
We'll just give him money.
So, you know, it's
called a 12-gauge shotgun.
I don't care who does the work. I don't care whether he does or not, but somebody needs to.
There's a pot. There's a stock.
I mean,
well, we're
all right.
Just
so
in the broader picture, that we're not the only people trying to deter birds from being in this place or that place. There's an entire field that tries to deal with this all the time.
Airports.
Right, so we had talked about also bringing the Port of Portland guy in, and maybe we can do that after the August meeting, just to see how what kind of success they have with their equipment.
There's a couple of different levels here. One is sort of the let's get it done, and it's sort of a brute force approach, and then there's how do you make it cheaper and still maintain the effectiveness.
That's what I'm after.
Are we being effective at all?
Right. So for the Dalles, I mean, we have it's a cost issue and a resource issue down below the bridge.
It's going to be more so.
What are our options there? Can we put like, can we get permission to put wire arrays in or not?
Have
we ever even talked about that? Who owns that property down there in Port?
Know which side?
On the downstream side of the bridge.
You're talking about
We own the peninsula.
Right.
But then across from there is
Water's Edge.
Oh, that whole thing there? Wow.
Yeah.
And
we were trying to line
they
it up.
They won't let us hang some wires off of that building? Be nice.
And we're trying to figure out we were trying to figure out a way to go off the peninsula and just get to the end of the bridge because we were attached to the bridge before. But doing that, you only cover half of that hot spot.
Yeah. All right, so we
it's gonna be a challenge.
We need to
talk about this maybe in the
So how about a task group on after August at Pump meeting? I like to say the 11th or 12th, the 10th.
Why is this one here?
The 8th. Of course, the 8th.
Yeah, I won't be here.
Next year.
You won't be here? How about September?
Yeah.
You'll be here?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do it in September. Are you on vacation for like a...
I don't know what I'm going to be doing.
But you're not going to...
I've got a...
Okay,
whatever. In the family.
Okay, all right, sorry.
September then?
September, we'll shoot for a task group meeting. Ken, September. You get that?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, tentatively, yeah, we'll go for that.
Well, just a second, Vernon. We're pushing back from August because Gary can't be there, and Gary can't be there in September.
No, he said he probably can be there in September.
Potentially September.
I just can't be
here. Good. Yeah, the only downside is that one structural that's here.
Do the vibe?
If you want to get mods to wire rigs.
Do what?
Well, these things that you get your face. All right.
All right, so let's move on. BPA updates.
Agnes had something, but let's see, for the VAS, I guess there's going, that is going to be going on today at McNary.
The RAS?
Don't know if the TDA is...
I think you meant RAS, not the VAS.
Yeah. Or if the Dells, if that was a typo or not. But, and also today and the 12th through 18th next week.
So the Dalles is going to happen?
No, it's at McNary. This is at McNary. But we suspected that it was a typo for the Dalles, but I don't know.
You're going to check into that.
Have you heard? I haven't heard.
It's been going back and forth, so I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, this is Agnes. I just checked with Power, and we don't have anything on the schedule for RAS testing at the Dalles.
Okay.
Oops, so this is McNary?
McNary.
Yeah,
it
looks like
it's always
canceled at the Dalles.
It's not.
No.
Canceled at McNary.
No, it's occurring.
Accurate.
No. So there is no RAS at the Dalles. It's at McNary. And it's occurring right now.
Yes.
And the McNary is still going forward.
Yes.
Correct.
Last time you put anything from Benton in there, right?
Benton said.
Fully wrong in about three different ways.
I got that.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And then.
The BPA update?
Yeah. Critical spare parts list. Still working on that. Anything to update on that, Ken?
I have nothing to update on that. Haven't had time to work on the template, but I know the projects. All the projects have something going, their own list going, and they're working on their own inventory. But I just kind of needed to have time to work on a template if we're going to have a uniform spreadsheet or a similar spreadsheet between all the projects.
Okay. All right, let's get into coordination forms. Is there a clock in this?
It's 11:14.
Can't see
it.
Yeah, we'll shoot for noon or soon after. So the first one is the ROV inspection for Bonneville LFS. It's LFS.
Grand Prix
something. Grand Prix something.
So did we just talk about this?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, this is the post. Cross that one out. How about the Dalles T8 startup?
Yeah. So T8 transformer's been out for quite a while because of transformer oil issues, and they want to get that back online. That affects unit 15 and 16. And in order to get that back online, they need to do some testing. So we're looking at 4 8-hour periods of running those units in and out of 1%.
So you're looking at running
22nd.
Up soon. You're thinking about
this month.
Yeah, and you know, the numbers of fish going through.
That's what we need.
And I was trying to figure out what the impact would be, and that's a tough one.
That's a tough one that you need to understand turbines better. And what I'm wondering is, what's the how far up are they going to run those outside of 1%? Are they just going? Are they going to jet limit?
Yeah, my impression is they're hitting the limit. But I can't. I don't know that for sure. I can find out.
Yeah, that was my question. Is this just a little out of sight, or is this way out?
And for how long?
I'm not sure what the jet limit is.
I think
in and out. So
it's going to vary.
Is it the bulk of the operator? Is it you're going to be operating that?
32 hours.
But is it all out of 1%?
All out of 1% or just a little bit up and down, up and down, up and down?
It'll be going in and out, but we can assume most of that time will be out of 1%.
So I guess my question is what's the queue? What's the flow they're going to run through? And let's look at that against our table. Yeah.
Okay.
And if it's way high, I don't know what.
I don't know.
The problem is, if flows drop off, 15, 16, that could be the bulk of the. That could be a lot of the flow.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, we're still looking at 200 in the river, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but probably longer. And you're probably not going to start this until August?
No, it's July 22nd.
Coming up soon. You should read your MSCs.
Well, I expect a little more than a 2 week. I expect like a 2 week notice.
Yeah, that's been lagging a bit lately. Like
lagging. It's been more of like, can you get us calls tomorrow? Because we're going to do it tomorrow.
Yeah, so,
That's only if you're going to quit your job, the 2 week notice thing.
Yeah. That's the only 2 week I get.
Can we give them a Monday notice? I don't know what we'd say anyway. I mean, what are our options?
It's
I mean, does this have to be done right now? That's what the question.
That's what I'm asking. Is there an option here?
I'm going to be a lot less blunt. I'm going to be a lot more blunt. Why does this have to be done now?
Yeah, I don't know how flexible they are on it, as far as when they can do it.
Yeah.
They want to get it back online as soon as they can, obviously.
Is it critical?
Can it wait until off-season? I don't know.
Or could it even wait until, like, mid-August? I mean, flows, you can have a lot less fish around.
Cell phone's interfering with the phone.
It's probably something
that's black. Oh, it might be mine.
That's probably.
You have a little
smart
better.
It's that flip phone right there, but.
Yeah,
flip
phone. Are you kidding, that flip phone?
You have to hit it 3 times
to
text every letter.
Yeah, he still has to do the query for each letter. One. Okay.
There's no text.
I got it. Can I text you with mine, too, on my flip phone?
It's awesome.
Sure.
No, Jerry's phone.
No, Jerry's got the flip phone.
Are you
kidding?
I'm not doing anything.
No. We're just making fun of your flip phone.
What's wrong with it?
Hey,
it works.
I'm with you.
Good. Yeah, it works. Same one, too.
Okay.
I mean, with respect.
So did you steal it from the museum?
What are you guys doing?
At least I'm not paying for it, okay? I'm not paying to pay for this.
The side bag.
All right, do I need to focus here? Let's go.
Good job. You diverted us completely away from your subject. Now we don't know what we're doing. Yeah, go ahead. Whatever you want. Well, what was the question?
So, Gary, the question is, like, if they could push it off to mid-August, would you be more comfortable
with
that?
Yeah, would they? Of course.
Can they do that? That's my question.
That's the question. I mean, is there a way they can get, because the numbers of fish would drop a lot by then.
Startup
mid-August is better.
But let's look at the operation, too.
And so if they're not...
If they're just a little over 1%, I'm not worried about it.
Every 4 hours?
And I don't know the generator limit and the upper end of 1% aren't the same anyway.
They might be the same.
Unless they are,
like,
really how close.
And, like, are you going to be running the full 2 hours outside of that? Or is this going to be, like, 2 hours out of the 8? I don't know. I mean,
down the road, we'll have a better answer because they are developing a model for the bales.
I don't think they can wait that long.
So you need more information.
We're going to get this. This is going to come up again. Don't worry. It has in the past. It will again in the future.
Okay, so it's unresolved at this point, so we can figure out whether or not they can do it in August or if it's just a little bit out.
Yeah, let's. I mean, because if it's only a little bit out, and like I said, if the difference between upper end of 1% and 1% is like minuscule, they can do it now. I'm not going to quibble.
Okay.
But if there's quite a bit of difference and it's going to be for all 32 hours, then yeah, push off.
There's a lot of that could be some impact there.
I mean, you still got a bunch of half-reach fish coming down, and potentially fall Chinook from the snake.
Not knowing anything about those units, we just don't know. You know, I don't know what.
We know survival isn't
environmental.
Anytime we've measured it, it's never.
No,
been
it
good.
Hasn't been.
Yeah,
great.
That's a problem.
That's mostly tail race, so
we don't
probably
have real good information on 1%.
We don't. We don't have a model.
It might be better.
It might be better.
Down the road, we'll get the model, we'll go through that analysis. A year from now, we'll know a lot more, but right now, we don't have it.
So in the FOP, for example, it does say, test it up to 30 minutes within 1%, blah, blah, blah.
Outside.
So, but the point is with the testing, so whatever that range would be within the 8 hours, if they could squeeze it in the half an hour that's in here, it would be helpful. Yeah. So if the testing period is 8 hours, but they only need to do the outside of 1%, or half an hour,
that's no problem.
You could tell them it's in your legal documents, or just tell them to do it. Like I said, do it within
The way it read, it sounded like 32 hours.
30 minutes.
All out of 1%.
Above 1%.
Do that? 32 hours outside of 1%.
That's where we need to.
And
John, do you want to be able to get like 1% and
I never know.
It's the same.
You never know.
All right, so you're going to wrap that up?
Yes, I'll get the.
Follow the FOP.
And I think it's in.
Follow the FOP, or we have a coordination that we can live with, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, how about McNary RAS testing update?
Can we get some more emails about this?
They're doing it right now.
I didn't see you put your 2 cents in there.
I sent it back in early. I said, take a look at temperature. I don't have a problem with this. Because we're not holding fish like we used to. If we were holding fish, I'd be having a lot more kittens out of this. But we're not transporting.
I didn't see your response. You must have not seen it.
But that's not where your problem is. That's not where your problem's going to occur.
Well, that's what our biggest fish kills have been, is when we're holding fish for transport and it's over 72 degrees. That's when we're getting those classic. The reason I noticed this guy, I had to read through my old notes when we moved, it was a 97 fish kill, and now we're going to kill 60,000 fish in a day.
So well, no, it happened in the...
Yeah, it happened in the forebay and in the gate wells. Yeah.
where it happens. It's in the forebay and the gate wells and the differentials in the channel. The actual holding of the fish, once they're through there, they're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fine, all right.
Well, the holding is where we collect all the mortality from the powerhouse.
Yeah. And also,
well,
we have
the screens get plugged up at the end of the collection channel with dead fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder where it did.
And that's
for various reasons.
And we also have temperature differentials in the FOB. In the FPP, that if you have temperature differentials to a certain point, you have to make an action.
So five degrees Fahrenheit.
Exactly. So we do have some criteria in there. So that's why I wasn't having super kittens about this, because I knew Gary would. So that's my job easier.
Well, I didn't say much either until Rosanna said, hey, wait a minute. I was just looking at adult impacts.
That's
not thinking so much about the temperature side.
It's good Rosanna said something.
Yeah.
She raised her hand, and so then I jumped on the bandwagon.
So where are we at? I mean,
we're done.
Yeah, this is Ken. I can provide just a quick update on this. As you know, there was concerns in the coordination of the RAS testing about the warm water at McNary in the forebay, and so we addressed that in the coordination process. And what the project is doing is not returning the RAS tested units to the service between 3 in the afternoon till 11 at night, which has generally been when you have some warm water issues with temperatures above 68 at some spots in the forebay and some of the gate wells. So just look at the data that time span is there could be some concern. So turning the unit on after 11 o'clock at night should be good for temperature. So far, looking at the data that they've collected, the warm spell so far has shown it's cooled off after 11. So,
perfect.
Yeah.
And no mortalities? Any mortality?
No.
Because of it?
Not that I can see.
Okay. Can't break it out?
No. I mean,
right.
We've gone from like 2.2 to 2.9 this week, and that's been about it. You know, that could.
Okay.
You can't directly correlate it to any of that, but I think, quite frankly, that Bill Gershbaugh and the project are doing about all they can to minimize this. And the whole issue of just if the unit's off, just leave it off until 11 o'clock at night is just the perfect. That's all you can do. That's all you can do.
Is the wind blowing out there, Atlanta?
It is today.
Yeah,
20-mile-an-hour winds, cooling things off.
It's supposed to blow pretty good until like Saturday, and then calm down again. So
Well,
next week it could be interesting because the temperatures will go up. The wind's supposed to stay calm up.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've I looked at last year's data. We didn't have near the number of fish last year in the water as we do this year. You know, we have upwards of like 300,000 fish out there every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
we got a plan.
Keep your eye on it. Okay, how about goose turbine 1 and 2 exciter replacement?
Saturday takes a little goose is going to be probably during the month of this year.
Rosanna Mensick
has left the conference.
All right, try that again.
Each unit requires about 6 days for installation and reinstallation and testing. We're going to start with unit number 2 probably in October. Go through the testing of that thing so they can keep unit 1 in operation. And when they're finished with the unit, of course, unit 2, they'll go to unit 1 for testing. Yes, they're going to go out of 1%. This is going to require model validation. They indicate, and I made sure that they slip and down on a stack of books, that it would be for no more than 30 minutes. So hopefully that's what it's going to be. They will be going out of 1% of that for no more than that, they told me. But this is the same test that they have been doing for testing, for model validation now for a couple of years now. We've done it in different projects. They did it in the Snake River ones. They're probably total all shot that they did last year. They're going to have to redo them all. In fact, they're looking at Lord Granite here the 31st of this month. But here we're looking at Little Goose right now.
So...
Greg, so as when you're working on Unit 2, we've got Unit 1 operating for adult passage traction.
That is correct.
And vice versa, so this shouldn't be a problem. In October?
In October, first Unit 2.
Yeah.
Probably November, late November, December, Unit 1.
Yeah. Tom shaking his head okay, too.
Yep, I'm nodding. Shaking with
nodding now.
I'm going to nod.
I feel the planet move. Thank you. In unison.
No, my head's big, not that big.
Thank you.
All right, how about your Ice Harbor coordination forms?
Ice Harbor was originally coordinated and put into Appendix A, and they requested a change come March this year. We sent out the FPOM 13IHR03, which moved it and was approved to move the dates up to 7/22 through 7/26 for double testing, and which includes the line one disconnect. The request now is to move it up one more week because they need the additional time to work on the line one disconnect. It's been stuck. In fact, all their disconnects are in bad shape. They're in extreme shape, and so that's what's going on right now. They need to have an extra few days to work on that disconnect after they do double testing, or before they do double testing.
Questions? Comments?
I had a couple comments.
Where are you at on this one?
I actually don't like it very much. I don't like that we originally approved this in March for this time period. I mean, we were kind of looking at the dips of adult passage in the graph, and it looks like a good time. But
we said 26.
When you look at it in detail and actually look at the individual species graphs, like sockeye, I mean, sockeye are, you know, peaking right now, and they're still going to be going through. So you're killing your attraction units right when sockeye are going through major species. I mean, that's not the brightest idea. There's better times to do this. I would rather push it on until August and do it and take a little hit on steelhead because they're not going to take such a hit from delay as sockeye. Right?
And we should have a thermal block at the snake by then. It should be 70 degrees, so we should have a thermal block which will stop all steelhead.
Yeah, let
the snake,
stop
so we're
at the confluence anyway. So I don't know.
You know, yeah, can you guys pair those two up, the thermal block and this work, and we'll be good to go. Yeah.
Well, talk Idaho Power. We've got to release a little more warm water. It should be not a problem. Get on that, Russ.
That's a great way to
go. So not only do I have an issue with the timing, but I have an issue with the MLC, too. I mean, there was no individual species graphs. There was like one on Chinook and there wasn't any on sockeye.
Or steelhead.
There was no reference to the past MLC, and Ken had to remind me about the past MLC in March. He forgot about it too. So we're all looking at this thing like, what is this? You know, we've forgotten about the issue in March. So I mean, the MLC was just kind of vague. There wasn't a lot of in-depth evaluation of the impacts of fish, which will be pretty substantial delay of sockeye. They have some disease issue right now that people are noticing. They have some, like, look like they've been shot by a BB gun or something as they're coming through lower granite, some kind of fungus or bacteria going on with them that could be leading to some of their poor conversion. Yeah. And so to delay them in the middle of the summer, I don't know if that's the greatest idea.
I concur, they can't delay it right now to do it. I mean, because they got annuals stacked up on this thing right afterwards. We got, you know, skull case and watering here pretty soon too at the same time. So
you guys,
it's all following the order.
If I remember right, correct me if I'm getting at least mixed up. But this is the one where you were proposing to run unit 5 because of station service.
That was low mo.
This one is, instead of having, I believe it was units 1 and 2 would be out, and we'd have to go to 5 and 6.
Right.
5 and 6.
Yeah.
Right.
And the other thing is, because I think Russ asked if you guys could take a look at pit tank passage. And that's the other question we had, is like, if you take a look at pit tank passage for sockeye, and enough of them, and if you had a bunch of these in the North Shore, that might give you a little more comfort.
Well,
but
based on counts,
that.
They're using primarily the ladder that's adjacent to.
They're using the South Shore ladder, about 60% of them.
Yeah, that's the count. So I was going to say, if you wanted to. So.
And that's the count.
Yeah.
the count.
So, I mean, so you guys have it scheduled with the project. That was another issue was when we originally approved this, it was approved for the 22nd, and you guys, I guess the project manager pushed it back to the 17th.
Which is even worse.
Which made it even worse, and nobody really knows why he did that, and so all the staff was scheduled for that period of time. I mean, are they totally locked in? They can't push, you know, until August, and they can't swap out and do something else
well,
right now?
Without doing the other work, I mean, they're going to do double testing. They got that stable, so that thing's out right now anyway. If they don't do it then, they won't be able to do this now for... They say if this is not done during this outage, it will not happen for another 3 years.
What?
That's what they're saying right now. I mean, that's what I've gotten back from the project.
What do you say? I'm sorry. If they don't do it now, they can't do it for another 3 years.
The double test.
Right.
Oh. I mean, we're kind of stuck. I mean, I'm just going to bitch and moan about it.
You know, they were stuck on the 22nd, the 26th, you know, they were on those dates. So they scheduled everything around those dates and then found out that they, hey, we need an extra few days to do this Unit 1 disconnect. And that's where we're asking for additional time on that.
This is that one. So a couple days turn into the 17th?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 5 days. And remind me, how critical is the double testing? It seems like we do it all the time.
Requirement.
Well, it's a requirement, but I'm also required to get my driver's test every 5 years, but it's not critical.
Well, I mean, you don't need to have a driver's license. And that's just a thing, but this so is
why can't
a liability.
Outside of spill season, do the double testing? Is it a scheduling issue?
It's the August.
It's a moisture issue.
Oh, it's that's right.
It's dry.
It's a super dry. It's
correct. You can't do it when there's moisture out there, remember?
And it's a desert.
They don't have umbrellas.
Well, it's not the umbrella problem, it's the water in the air.
I mean, there's no way they can squeeze it back to the 22nd. I mean, the 22nd I could maybe live with.
Yeah,
I'm not
better.
Happy at all about going earlier than the 22nd because, I mean, sockeye seems like that's the one species you don't want to futz with, and that's the one we're exactly going to futz with.
Yeah, this is Ken. We had an opportunity to speak with the chief of operations this morning, Ice Harbor, because he's in the building now, and we asked him about if there's any flexibility to do the line one disconnect maybe at the end of the double testing. So do it like...
What was it, 26, 27, 28, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think when the double testing is done, which should be the 26th, they would start the line would disconnect and go on through the 30th.
Yeah.
But he had to check around with his crew and staffing and all that to see if it could be done. And plus, they have to reschedule with BPA.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it sound as if the line one disconnect isn't necessary to do the double testing. If you can do it afterwards.
Yeah, you do it afterwards. The line one is after double testing.
The worry is they need the extra time, but...
They need the extra time, I mean, scheduling-wise. I mean, the following week after double testing, they got to do some unwatering the units. They got to, they have other maintenance planned. And so this thing was just stacked on top of it. Say, okay, let's see if we can do this. Line one disconnect on the 7th, you know, the week of the 15th. That's all.
So maybe the best way
is to
be
done before, and it's got to be done before they do any unit one maintenance.
Yeah. So maybe we should see if, you know, how late, what's the latest you can possibly push this thing towards August, and then what can you do for attraction to other ladders to reduce delay?
One other question is, what's required in the double testing? Because could you maybe move the double testing up to give yourself a little more flexibility at the end of your double testing to do your line, line one? I mean, is that something you guys can look at?
The only problem about double testing, we've got, five plants out here that's got to have it done. And it's scheduled on a weekly basis between now and the end of August.
Yeah.
We miss one double testing, 1 week of double testing, we miss all six of them. Or we push it back, and I don't think they can push any of them back.
No, I was saying push it forward. I was saying can you shift your double testing?
Right.
Yeah, bump that up forward and do your find about your line one, and get that way to give you some more flexibility to do your line one disconnect at the end
and do that as late as humanly possible to let the sockeye get through. Can you do any juggling like that?
I think you're trying to come up with a solution that these guys need to come up with. I think I would just say, hey,
Okay, no. Is that what we need to say?
And come up with some a better solution. That's what I'm hearing. Because these are endangered Snake River sockeye. It's not like this is some small percentage of the total sockeye run that we're worried about. This is it. So this is a high bar.
Yeah, I would recommend that you guys...
Okay, then the solution would be, you feel, does that pump feel that if we do this later on, let's say that after double testing, which is better for the 22nd, the 25th, we do it immediately after that?
Yeah, that'd be a preferred option.
I mean, August 1st would be the best.
Yeah, then they dropped off, at least at ice.
But you know, as late as you can get towards that point is definitely better.
And I think you should go back to the OPM and lay that out and talk about the impacts to ESA listed sockeye. And say, you know, this is the peak run, so if you can do it, this is the time to do it. And the region will support that. I think that's the message. Sounds like there's some flexibility here that we can actually tap into.
So, Greg, this is Agnes, and EPA would like to be part of that discussion. And considering that we coordinated this, it seems like, in March, I don't know how much flexibility our crews are going to have to make the switch in scheduling, but we'll get in contact with you, Greg, to talk about it further.
Well, yeah, we need that information too. Yeah, this is BPA also at the same time. I mean,
Noble Test this project, the T1 disconnect is transmission.
Yeah, T1 disconnect is a bigger one than.
So let's find out what the flexibility is, and if we can flip it, let's do it.
Okay.
And get back with the MOC, or the coordination form.
Yeah, I'm going to have them come out with a better one.
Is this an MOC? Yeah, Agnes, you're partially wrong on that, because the 17th part was not coordinated back in March. It was the 22nd that was coordinated back then. So the 17th is a new.
Yeah, that's the new part.
New request.
And then they found out they needed more time.
Yeah.
That's a project. So, you know, juggling these things is difficult, but there's usually contingency built into it for a reason.
Right. Well, it takes care of that one. We'll come back to that one then.
So, do you have one more?
Yeah, the one more is the 13HR12 again, and that's the main unit number 3 is outage. And here again, they've got to work on the disconnects. The disconnect of unit 4, to get away from bus number 2 on Ice Harbor Line 2, is frozen in place. That's the problem. They need to fix that before they can work on Unit 4.
We have no issue with that one.
No, that's fine.
Thumbs up.
Okay. Thumbs up. That's August. Thank you very much.
Yeah, just as long as this one doesn't impact your ability to do the previous one, this one. If this one has to get moved to facilitate keeping Unit 1 and 2 on, let's not have this drive the bus on that one.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand that. We'll work on the other one. Thank you very much for your considerations.
Don't worry. We can tell you no at all day, so.
I know. We'll find a way to say yes.
Don't you wish you were here, Greg?
You know, I was planning on being there this week, but I got caught in court.
Tammy did make some delicious food, so.
And you're missing out on this new crit pick.
Good brownies. And Doug's drinking beer, so.
Stout, that is.
That's Michael
Bolton. Michael Bolton.
Stout.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next?
Thank you.
What page am I on?
You're on 5. Please pass this one.
Oh, yeah.
page two.
Page two of eight.
So,
fish passage plan.
Essentially, 2014.
Yippee.
2014 fish passage plan and change forms website's up. There's the link. All the change forms that have been reviewed and or approved and or pending are posted, and they're available for you to look at. There's also production schedule and deadlines. I just pulled out the important dates here. So everyone know, by Friday, November 1st, all the core district change forms are due to me. Then I'll get those posted for everyone to review within the next couple weeks. And then all other change forms due December 13th, and then those will all be posted for review in the draft sections by December 31.
I can't see that my camera's watch you go one sooner.
Do it now.
So
can I complain? Can I complain?
Sure.
November 1, all the change forms due to write. Years past, I mean every year for the past 7 years, I have not gotten any information on special projects, studies, until later on in the year.
Yeah, and that, so Appendix A is its own beast, and we typically don't wrap that up until
but if you
second
want
before I send it to the printer. So that, so Appendix A,
okay,
notwithstanding, this is more just for the body of the FPP. So
all right,
special operations and studies, I think everyone understands. And that's not really something that we vet through FPOM. That's more of just a, this is what we're going to be doing this year. So those will be the...
Can you record that? Can I get that back?
Well,
okay. Special operations. We should,
well, Appendix A, I mean, it's a Fitterwick thing.
We just got to do it.
It's usually developed in Fitterwick, and then it's put into the Appendix A. And so anyway, those,
well, in that case, no problem, Lisa.
That at the meeting. I'm sorry?
No problem.
No complaint.
So take your complaint back.
I will.
So I have a sort of a complaint.
I'm eating it.
He's eating it. So the fish passage plan has always been a living document.
Yep.
You know, we've always been able to change and modify this. Really, your schedule is for a printed version.
Yes.
We change things, and these change forms, as they come up, as far as I'm concerned, once they're approved, they're in.
Yep.
Right.
So we're still going to keep that process.
Absolutely.
If something pops up in January, mm-hmm, and you want to get it in there, you might not get it in the print.
Absolutely.
But it still can be agreed on.
Or an electronic version on.
It would be on the website.
It can be changed,
for sure.
Right.
And
so I just want to make sure that everybody realizes that this thing still
living
can
done
be updated at any time.
And all the change forms that we reviewed in May that were approved or whatever are incorporated in the living document in the 2014. So
good. I just want to make sure that wasn't changing to a hard date.
Never.
Everything's a living document, right?
Yeah. Well,
zombies.
Some are, but
technically living documents.
No, it's working well.
Yeah,
and
it has.
We're just trying to make
And no, that's just a list.
Yeah, no, I understand.
The more we can get in the fish passage plan by having it scheduled.
No, that's good.
What are we at? 5.1, the Powerhouse 2 mid-range operation.
Just like it says.
Still pending legal review, so we're at the glacial pace. Good to know.
It's still being implemented.
It's
being implemented. Yeah, accidentally. You know, that's a matter of fact.
Part of it. The other part
will
be a fire flow.
We
don't know.
What's this? There are two things here.
Hmm?
ROV turbine units.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's you.
I got that would be me.
Someone kick him.
So we ROV the turbine units mid-season every year to check for debris, and we have three units that we check. It's 3, 8, and 18 as specified in the fish passage plan. But that doesn't leave us a lot of flexibility, plus we have to take out the sluiceway in order to do that, which probably isn't the best thing. So all we really need...
Yes, you can pick one, and these are the ones you picked.
All we need is just the flexibility to pick three units, and let us decide which unit.
Take out the sluiceway.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that.
In order to ROV in front of
you, you need
eight,
to close that
eight
gate.
We need to
but
close
you don't
that
have to close the sluice.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Close that. Like, say, wait a
okay
minute.
No, we don't close
all of a sudden
the
whole
just let us take care of it. We've got it under control.
Right.
No, I still think you'd want to test across the powerhouse. Now, I mean,
we can do
totally
that.
Married to, it has to be 18. If you want to do 17 instead of 18, I'd probably be fine with that. As long as you're picking them across, not all going like 4, 5, and 6, and that's all you're looking at, that
it would be across the powerhouse, plus
we
would pick units that have been actually running.
We know how to operate
the
sluice.
Have a lot of runtime on it.
Do you want me to go through the past of what you've been doing for a long period of time?
Yeah.
I don't think you want to go down that bus road.
We know how to operate that sluice way. That's all I want to say.
It's a sluice way question. If you want to jump around the sluice way, if you want to do unit 7 instead of 8.
Right. Bob knows what he's doing.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Yes. Okay. I'm not going to give you complete carte blanche. Go pick any three.
Pick any three and...
Because I know what you're start having
pick
like
the best three.
You'll start having like a pool or a raffle.
It's
here,
kind
in
of carte blanche I'm starting to get here. Yeah. I know.
One that might work pretty well.
Yeah, I know.
That's
all I mean, exactly. That might be better.
Kind of slap them around. Okay, got it covered. Now let's go to Sluicegate move time limit. What's that? Sluicegate move
time limit. I thought you said you know to operate a sluicegate.
Wait. This is the gem right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So whenever they need to take a unit out for certain maintenance or whatever, there's kind of a... sometimes it just is a short period of time.
Yeah.
It might be an hour, a couple right. hours, half right. a day or something. And there's really no time limitation set as to how far or how long until we actually move to another sluice gate.
Right, right.
We don't have that established.
Right.
And I threw 6 hours. I think I threw 6 hours.
6 hours.
Yeah. I don't know what the right time is. For us, the right time in order to go to another sluice gate, it's not just press a button.
I thought 6 hours was actually
we have to do the chain
reasonable. You know, very reasonable. Yeah. And you know, you might get pushed back from your side more so than us.
How long does it take you guys to move it if you have to move the sluice gate?
If we have to move the chain gates,
yeah,
to a chain gate.
6 hours?
No. A couple hours total.
It is work. Yeah.
It's work.
Yeah,
no. Work. So. But yeah, I can go with 6.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Okay. We'll go with that.
Let's see what you get back.
So we'll see a change for our own guys.
Yeah. They should be all right with that.
Otherwise, we'll see a change form. By November 1st, I think.
Yeah. My thought was just keep it within one working day.
Yeah.
That's 6 hours with a couple hours on each side.
Nice.
With
the yep. Way to go.
No, that's good.
Okay.
All right, 5-4 is McNary.
This is a change form. A few years ago, our engineers in the office looked at some of the drawings for the entrance gate, the McNary fish entrance gates, and found that discrepancy between what was the fish passage plan as far as low as the gates can go and until. And what they found in the drawings. So last year, the project, they took some physical measurements, went out there with a weighted tape measure and a camera, and they took some measurements how far down the water and did the calculations, and it actually found out that the seals that the gates rest on are higher than originally thought. So for the soft tissue entrances, it's like a foot higher. Instead of 243 being the lowest the gates can lower down to, it's actually 244. And for the north fishery entrances, 2 and 3, instead of 243, there's quite a difference there. It's actually 253. So the sill that it rests on is actually 10 feet higher than what was originally thought. And the reason for that was, I think, when they put John Day in, it affected the tail race elevation back in the area, and they consequently raised some of the entrance gates in there. So I got some of the effect of that in there.
Raising the gates, but the sill. You're talking the sill, not the gate, right?
This is the sill that the gate rests on. I should say the bottom...
this is concrete.
The bottom...
10 feet higher than
concrete that the gate rests on.
The design drawings.
Well, I mean, 10 feet.
That
just seems weird.
That's kind of extreme.
And how are the as-built that off?
Well, it can't be. 10 feet?
Well, the original as-built were that way. Then they found the new drawings. Well, they're not new. They were probably in the 60s, late 60s, where it showed the readings you see here is what they found, and they pretty much confirmed it. No, when I did the measurements on site there.
Seems like a hell of a difference, but if that's what you measure.
For NFEs, it's quite a difference. So this is for lowering the wears at night for lamprey, adult lamprey passage.
that's what this section is referring to. So when they're lowering NFEs down, it's only going down to 253. It's not, my parent now we're getting quite the benefit that we had thought they were getting.
Explain why the results were a little less than we thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, this would affect the velocity for certain coming out of that entrance. By a lot. Probably half.
So is there any impact to Salamanca's having that lamp?
No. No, there's no.
So it's just,
there's no.
It's just like, oh.
They still meet the 8-foot depth criteria.
Yeah, no problem there. Yeah.
It's just that when you go to sill, the sill isn't where you thought it was. So your opening is less than you thought it was on the south side. And therefore your velocities are higher. So I give it a cube.
And does that affect the design of the lamp ray structure?
I hope not. I hope Mark is on top of that.
Okay.
I don't know.
So were they aware of the of that for the prototype structure?
Right.
I didn't know aware of that.
That would be, the model at Erdic was built correctly or not?
Well, that's a good question. Probably not.
Which plans?
What was the question again?
The model, the Davidson's model down at Erdic, was that built correctly?
I believe when they found out this 1-foot discrepancy on the south facing entrances, I believe the prototype could fit right in where it was, which is basically just going to be a foot higher. But that shouldn't affect anything else. I don't believe. I could double check on that to make sure.
Okay. Yeah, that was the south. That's the south side.
It's only a foot off.
That's not much of a difference. Okay. That's not going to change.
Sure. To check. Sure.
Except that it might have to be a foot. Well, it could.
You might want to tell Davidson that. Hey, your model is
I hope they have.
Accurate.
I hope Martin's well aware of this, I'm sure.
I'll verify and make sure.
Okay.
Change your velocities a little bit through it.
And how it's configured, how it sets in there.
All right, let's go on to the next. What do we got? 5.5, which is Goose's changed data in the fish passage plan.
Yeah, so apparently 2011, this change form was approved, and it just never really got carried over to the final printed version.
I think that was the year that
Doug
was in charge of that.
It's my fault. I didn't carry the form over, so form wasn't carried over into the FPP.
So we realize it's still there. People are still referring to it when it should just be in the FOP. So anyway, it's just the...
I made a mistake. I know you thought I was perfect.
This is the one moving into the box.
Yeah, I know. I figured you expected that. So. But it is noteworthy just because, as we've discussed right now with Goose, we're fast approaching that trigger, and the trigger in the FOP, which is the 32, that's what triggers that change in 30% down to the constant 11K. And so it's just, this is important because if you're going into the FPP and you see the criteria, they're in there, and they were changed. They're wrong. Go to the FOP. So that's how we're managing Little Goose, 30% down to constant. If you have any questions, we're doing what's in the FOP. So.
Well, interesting question. You have a new bio coming out. Court ordered stuff theoretically should be a thing in the past. Are we going to get rid of the FOP? Because the only reason the FOP is there was to ensure that operations met the court order.
I don't know. See, I've heard a different... The spin I heard on the FOP as Appendix E of the FIS Passage Plan was always spill operations, so I've
heard also that it's going to be staying in the FPP also.
Yeah, now the FOP is like this sanctimonious, like, my dear God's
Holy Grail.
It'll go from...
Are we going to get it away from the Holy Grail status and we can expect something
with
it?
The FIS Passage Plan, which is
the main issue,
was intended to run these things.
Time will tell, my butt cheeks.
Take the operation.
Good question. But
yeah, it was. When I was actually the RCC bio, it was this called the spill.
Yeah.
Spill plan.
It was spill. I think it was a spill plan, spill and operation plan, or something like that. Yeah.
The SOP.
Yeah.
The SOP. Spill operation plan or something. But yeah, it was Appendix E.
Yep.
And then when we got the court order, it turned into the FOP, and now, yeah, you would think it would go back.
But it would change the name again.
Yeah.
We'll go south.
Sixth again. MPP.
Sixth one was there. That's the Midwest next in the output.
Right.
Bob's
already been. You can't do Bob. Bob's already been.
So it all depends on what comes out of the biop. And
well, that's court order. I mean,
is there another court order?
Right. Yeah, because that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Stop wasting your time talking about it, man.
But can I just, wanted to reiterate, though, that...
I just want you guys to be thinking about this, so when I make my change forms, it's like, I don't want to hear thinking, like, well, it's the FOP and we can't change it. Well, there is no FOP technically anymore, so...
There is right now.
So, yeah, quickly, when the buyout comes out and before the judge rules in the next lawsuit...
Yeah, but before he tells you guys once again... There'll be a window of opportunity.
My point is we're approaching that trigger. So in the FOP, it's 32, less than equal to. We're approaching that. So just be watching it. As we know, the forecast has been kind of dancing down in that range, but then it's changing.
Right.
So anyways,
and
stay tuned.
Fish passage plan is incorrect.
Is incorrect.
Because they never carried that form over.
But it doesn't, it's still, when you get to 32 and you go to this 11, you're still going to have the weir over.
Yeah, I mean, again, it just kind of depends how it all shakes out. As you've indicated, your desired op would be, you know, into August or August 1st, I think, is what I heard from you. But it's always just, it's marrying up when flows and marry up with whatever.
I think typically the normal
is the late August.
Events is the spillway where would get closed, it flows less than 35, and then once you get below 32 is when you do the transition. So typically it goes weir first,
right.
Then uniform spill. But because of this year's sort of early low flows, we're going to keep the weir open for a little bit longer, so we may actually get to this. And the transition of spill from 30% to flat isn't really, that's something we kind of have to do because of the unit, the dead band between certain KCFS, where we kind of have to start doing that just from an operations standpoint.
When you got a flat, when you go to the 11, the first, then down to 9, it's 11 first.
Correct.
Right? Is there anything that stops you from having the weir operating within that 11?
Nope. Not at all.
No, because the weir takes 7, so yeah, you just...
7.5 going through there, and then a couple of the rest.
Correct.
So, yeah, okay.
And so for the last time we did it back in 2010, we didn't do that until mid-August. So again, like Lisa said, it's just we're so early right now. So we're trying to be mindful of it because it's you see it in the RFC forecast, but it just keeps not materializing. So we're trying to be transparent, but this may not be an issue because if we keep getting water, it will be a non-issue.
Okay.
Just watch it. If you have any questions, give me a call.
Anything else? All right, let's move on. Nice catch there. RCC staff.
Better late than never.
Hey. Well, it's in the fall, though. Ice Harbor trap protocols.
As far as I know, this was already approved.
Right.
Unless there's some new updates I haven't heard about, but it was back in April. There was coordination between Noah, Trevor, and myself, Chris Penny, and Uli, and I believe it was approved May 2nd.
Yeah, I think so.
I must not have a copy of that final one because I know Trevor made some recommendations at the EPCOM meeting, and the agreement was that...
I thought Chris was going to write it up.
And I haven't seen that.
So we just need the final... updated change form with Penny's edits based on Trevor's recommendations. Because, we did approve it as long as that got in there.
Yep.
But we haven't seen it on paper.
That's correct.
Okay, I'll make sure I get it sent out.
Okay. Do we have anything here on potential we can wrap? Nothing. Task groups. I know the Sea Lion task group met after our awesome barbecue. Which thanks for those that attended. It was fun. Bill, you missed out on a good one, man.
Long drive there and back.
That's all right. We'll have another one. Did we get some meeting minutes posted on that? There's some meeting minutes from that posted on the site. If not, they will be soon.
Are you all happy now with the CO and stuff?
I was not a part of the group. You guys were. Yeah. You had a pretty good conversation there.
Yeah, we did. I think we're okay. It was more just really just making sure that guys out in the hazing boat, Bobby, or whoever's out there, do a good job.
Frederick.
And don't shoot down.
Yeah. There was also a discussion of
Monica, where you at?
How they could
reduce
still
efforts.
Keep the same necessary level of data that we need. So
the fish field unit's looking into that.
The overall monitoring. And we talked about off-season monitoring with Stellar's hanging around later. And we talked
using
a little bit
video.
About four-way monitoring, which, you know, how do you just keep track of what's going on if the sea lion's getting above the project. So those are all...
Right.
Give me a boat and a bunch of OT. I'll find them.
Yeah, so there's still three...
in there. I'll stand there all summer. Look at them. There he is.
There's three of them above... And we're looking into some blockage protocols and maybe acoustic deterrents for the nav block.
Stop.
And someone said you're actually planning for an additional trap.
I don't know about that, but the trap isn't really all that desirable for these animals when there's nice docks that are nice and low and easy.
Yeah. And they've tried to modify the trap, right? So this is a trap it's a floating trap. Typical of what they use downstream, but they had to build a new one so they could put it on the back of a truck. The design wasn't probably quite as good because it floats pretty high out of the water. That's essentially the biggest issue.
And they
tried weighting the front of it, adding like a plywood ramp to it, you know, but
smearing smelly jelly all over it.
You
got a bunch of dead salmon. You have a whole dead salmon in there?
Yeah. I think the lamprey might be better for that.
You know, I hear they like mini jacks a lot.
Back to that
all comes back to mini jacks. Well, you know, you got to end it on a mini jack note.
So has anybody seen those particular sea lions feeding off of the tribal nets up there?
I don't know. I haven't heard any reports of it.
We just get a lot of complaints.
Okay. But Critfix might have some idea, I would guess.
I have not heard any complaints yet, but I'm sure.
I think that if there was a problem, the sea lions
We'll hear about it.
I don't know
if those guys are quite willing to take that risk to have a little ticket.
Some of them might be.
Tribal guys?
Yeah. Well, come on, of all the...
As we said, whatever you say, your net was stuck, your foot was stuck in the net, and you're getting pulled overboard.
Yep. You just had
life and self-defense. Self-defense.
All right. So let's move in here and wrap this thing.
I think Robert was going to put together, or did he put together notes?
Yeah.
They're posted to the website. Yeah, they were not included in the agenda.
Okay, so check it.
Yeah, it's like a two-page write-up.
I know you're due in August, but come on.
Oh. You got anything else you want to get out?
I think that was the last one I had to check off. So.
Okay. All right, so Avian Task Group, we've already talked about that meeting in September. AFF Mods, we've kind of run that one aground, and then we're going to do the fish counting in August. So Ann's putting together something that we can all read. I've already reviewed it, so she'll be sending it out.
What is the hope for that?
The hope from that is to identify areas where we might be able to use some video counting.
Oh, okay.
Especially as we improve this video monitoring and DVDR, technology that might be able to cut some costs. And prioritize that. With that, anything else for the good of the day? Calendar items? Check the calendar 13 on the website. Tammy, you've been awfully quiet. How about you saying something?
Nothing.
Nothing? You?
Happy birthday to Ben and Miro.
And Miro? Whoa. Are you guys birthday boys?
Not for a while.
Okay. This month. This month is coming to an end.
That's true. Me too.
Tom, you got anything? Anything about the building here we should know about? Can we continue having meetings here?
It'll only get better. If you're interested in ICB's having...
All right, so all is on the phone. We're done.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So ICB is doing a habitat presentation.
Thanks.
People are sitting for lunch. Take your lunch down there and go to ICB talk about habitat work.
So you have a big conference room downstairs.
Yeah, that's where we're supposed to.
Why did you guys come here? Was it a reason for this? Parking, construction? Sounds like a great time.
Yeah, we want to have the front row vision of that construction's going to go on.
We just wanted to dig a window high enough to jump from.
Yeah, so you have a better view.
Yeah, so when I jump out the window, there's a likelihood I will die.
You have a Mount Hood view, right?
I've got the easy view over there.
All right. You guys got anything you want to throw out there?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll get him on my shoulders.
Oh, at LC